Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Since taking over the Blue Jackets more than 2 weeks ago, Rick Bowness is 7-1 with the CBJ. We're climbing out of the basement of the NHL's Metropolitan Division. Columbus got a huge 5-3 win over Philadelphia last night at Nationwide. Flyers tied things at 3. 5 minutes into the third, Sean Monahan made it a 4-3 game 1 minute later. And Matthew Olivier's empty netters sealed the deal. Jackets will ride their 3-game winning streak to Chicago to take on the Blackhawks Friday. 4 games remain before the Olympic break, and the NHL's trade deadline is set for next Wednesday. Next Thursday is the NBA's trade deadline in the association last night. The Cavaliers beat LeBron and the Lakers 129-99 in Cleveland. Cavs have won 5 straight. They're in Phoenix on Friday. This update's sponsored by Uber Eats. Uber Eats has a great deal waiting for you at El Vaquero from now until March 31st. Buy one quesadilla deal, get one free on the app. Terms apply. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tiberi here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me.
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Thursday edition of the program. Both the boys with you for the next 3:10 o'clock. We open up that mailbag 10:30. Mr. Feinbaum drops by as is customary on a Thursday. And I believe I have this right. Teddy Ginn Jr. going to join us 11:30 in studio. That is the plan. So we look forward to that. And Reese is back. He's back. You're supposed to be back yesterday.
Yes.
Here's what I want. I want a detailed breakdown of when you knew you were, in the words of the great Turkish in Snatch, proper effed.
Oh, we were good and effed. As soon as we hopped off the plane from Tampa and stepped 2 feet into the Charlotte airport.
You knew.
We knew. It's a major American Airlines hub, and this might have been 6:30, 6:45 Tuesday night, and we were scheduled for a 7:15 flight out on the same plane.
Oh.
And so maybe that should have set off some alarm bells. Been like, well, they're not doing that turnaround quickly. We get into the terminal, then it's just every gate. There were 8 gates maybe in the little wing that we were at, and they were all 10 people deep with the same complaint. And at the there was the one of the help stations for American Airlines had about 100 people. And they were just, those lines were growing. And so perspective, as I've always said, is a hell of a drug.
Mm-hmm.
Because I in the moment I was angry. Because I kind of knew where this was headed.
Yep.
But I felt bad for the people who were just kind of doing their job. Like they they're not really given much in the way of instruction. What you do with 500 angry people who are getting angrier by the minute. And there's a phrase I can't say on the air about how apps and how we do things online has just gotten worse when dealing with companies because they have a monopoly, so they don't have to make their stuff better.
No.
And the one I think the final straw in this that made me be like, bleep, but we're getting a car, was there was a woman who was a gate agent for American Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
And she had said, all right, everybody, we can only see one person at a time. So if you just take out your phones, there's an AI chat assistant that will help you on the website.
God.
And that's when I started seeing what cars they had available. They wanted us to fly out last night at 7 o'clock. And
they wanted you to wait a day. That's the best they could do.
Was the best they could do. And I said, all right, we're getting a car.
Were they offering any vouchers, any hotel vouchers, any food vouchers?
So I was seeing red at that point, and I don't know what was said after that.
Yeah.
But as soon as they told me it was 7 o'clock Wednesday night, I didn't hear anything else after that.
The see, I don't think they do that anymore with the vouchers. They used to. You're right. I mean, that we used to have. I'm trying to think, like, when, I mean, I've been flying pretty regularly for 25 years now, and I was thinking to myself, you know, there used to be Northwest. There used to be Delta. Obviously, there still is Delta. Those two are now merged. Used to be United, still is, but there used to be Continental. Now those two are merged. There used to be US Air. Like, Charlotte was a US Air hub, and American gobbled them up. And so American, Delta, and United, those are the three big boys. Southwest, obviously, is getting in there too as a big boy. And so there is no reason for them to be great at this. There's no reason for the experience to be great. No, not good, not great. It's everybody's in steerage, or it's 55X if you want any sort of elevated thing. This idea of an extra 6 inches on your seat is going to cost you $400 a ticket, like all the stuff that they do. It's all just gross, and there's really no end in sight to it. I can't imagine. And the thing, you know, you feel bad for the people like yourself who go through these circumstances, and God knows I've been through a bunch of them. But the other thing I feel bad for is those folks behind those desks. Because what are they supposed to do? Imagine if your job for 8 hours a day on a day like the day you had, and my guess is every gate agent, every help desk at every airline in America over the last week has had to deal with this because you had 30,000 flights canceled over the weekend. That as you're dealing with this, imagine doing a job where 8 hours a day, you are giving people information they do not want. And not only do they not want it, it angers them. And then trying to de-escalate every situation because everybody has a valid beef. No. I bought the ticket. This is the ticket. This is what I'm supposed to be on. Well, yeah, but I'm sorry, but that isn't possible anymore. This is the best I can do. And the best they can do is never very good. And now they don't even make it right. Like, they used to put you up in a hotel. They would upgrade you if they could. They used to do this thing where if you didn't have a flight, let me see if there's a flight on another airline. Like, they don't do that anymore. They won't do that stuff anymore. So basically, you're just stuck. And the what you just described, I mean, I did that same thing on the way back from spring break a couple of years ago when halfway through my flight from the Bahamas to Newark, I got a ping on my phone from the Lovely app that told me that my flight was canceled.
At least they told you.
Well, they did. I had about an hour, but I landed at Newark. Same thing you did. It was like Calcutta, just billions of people everywhere. Everything was canceled. And I finally got in front of a human being because the app wasn't doing anything for me. I couldn't get anything done in the app. It almost just kept resetting every minute and a half in terms of it was. Yeah. And so I get to the gate agent and I said, let me ask you a question. If you were me and you could drive, would you? And the gate agent said, if you can drive, I would. And I rented a car and I drove from Newark.
So, Bo, I'm a little worried about this for this weekend because the Blue Jackets are playing in St. Louis Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So we are flying out Friday night to St. Louis.
Okay.
To meet my buddy, Jack, who's going to drive from Kansas City.
Yep.
And go to the game. And then we're supposed to fly back on Sunday.
Okay. You're flying Friday?
Yeah, so okay. Friday after the show, so like Friday at like 6:15, I think we've got a direct flight to St. Louis.
Well.
So I'm not too worried about that. What I am a little worried about is coming home on Sunday, because I feel like more people will be flying on Sunday, maybe trying to get back from places. And Sunday is because of the timing, we're flying to Dallas and then home, so there's another flight involved. So,
what's your connect time?
I'd have to go look and see.
I think you're going to be okay. You just have never had these.
Yeah, but I'm a little nervous, like everything is so backlogged that somehow I'm not going to get back in time for work on Monday.
I think my hunch is that first of all, on the direct one, you're safe, pal. I mean, yeah. You're safe. Nothing to see there. And then on the way back, I mean, I think the weather it's supposed to be pretty stable this weekend. So I think you're going to be fine on Sunday. And here's the cool thing about you. It's just you. It's just you, right? Like, are you flying with a significant other?
No, I mean, there's two of us flying, but
okay,
still.
Okay, so, but it's just two seats. So even if there's a billion flights a day from Dallas to Columbus, would be my guess. that there's a ton of them. I mean, that's a route that is very common. That's an American hub as well. And so if you're going to go west out of Port Columbus, you are going through Dallas a lot if you're trying to go west. So I think you're going to have a lot of flight options there. And I think even if something happens to your flight, there will be a flight later that day that you can get on. I mean, two or one, those type of things, usually you can make those work. You walk to a gate agent and say, how many in your party? And you go, five. That's when they say, well, you can fly out next week. How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. So
I've had a good track record. I'm due for one of these at some point.
I've had the worst track record in the history of flight. I mean, like if it was a batting average and like perfect flying appearances or perfect flying experiences, every one of those counted as a hit. I mean, lifetime, I'm probably hitting 220.
Oh, you'd be leading the Guardians.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, I'd hit leadoff for the Guardians.
Yeah.
Just put Ramirez behind me at a discount, and you're fine.
Yeah, you don't need to take the discount, but he will.
$200 million he left on the table in his career? Maybe $250? I was talking to Chris Rose.
Thanks for more than that.
Chris thought $250 million in his career.
Yeah. Thankfully he did that. Just looks like the Blitzers will be on, or David Blitzer will be on the on the hook for some of it. They're just deferring that down the road, and it's like, can you do Stephen Kwan now? But he won't take that. He shouldn't. I would, if I was Ramirez's agent, I wouldn't. I'd be like, don't take that deal.
It's amazing. I mean, that he did. It's one of those instances where he's never going to spend the money that he has, but it's rare that somebody turns down a couple $100 million. So that's my gift to you, by the way. Welcome back. You get about 35, 40 seconds of baseball Love talk it. At the end of the first block.
You inspired me to do the rental car thing. Like it wasn't until hearing your story from Newark where I really even ever considered it. Because this had happened before, I mean, years ago, where you're kind of defeated to the point where I'll just wait in this line. But as soon as one flight was moved and then other flights were starting to be canceled, I'm like, I'm just going to pull a Beau Bishop here. We're just make, and I looked, it was like 6.5 hours. I'm like, that's doable because the alternative is waiting in the airport.
I'm glad. You're welcome. I'm glad. And I hope other people follow that story too, because what it is it gives you the power back. Now you have the power. Now you're in control of your own destiny. You're not sitting in some place at the whims of a company that, quite honestly, doesn't really care. They don't really care. People are still going to buy tickets. It doesn't matter how good the experience is. We're going to move around the country. We're going to move around the world. We're going to pay an exorbitant fee to do it. We don't care really how much the experience is. You're going to just keep charging us more and more and more for tickets. We're going to keep buying them. And I mean, I've been the amount of times, it's not like I'm ever hopping on a flight that isn't completely full. They're all oversold. There's no empty seats and away you go. So yeah, anything under that, in fact, every time I book a flight now, I always look at if I have to connect, can I drive from that connection if I have to? And I consider that in my booking of flights. So when we go west, I try to go through Chicago. I try to go through someplace. If worse comes to worse, I can rent a car and I can get home. And that's the best you can do. So pretty good third period for the Columbus Blue Jackets. It felt like it was going to go south. It did not. And now there's four for the break. How important are these four for how this team will look at the end? And a very interesting night last night up in Cleveland. Got us thinking a little bit about LeBron James. We'll have a lot on the Browns coaching hire of Todd Monken as well. Some college football along the way. We're off and running on a Thursday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio. Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
Men, the new year is...
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Thing or two about the moments in life that matter. You've seized those moments to embrace joy, accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a life well lived? Maybe. Or maybe there's more to be done. Maybe this is the most important moment you've encountered yet. By volunteering with AmeriCorps Seniors, you can seize the moment, lend a hand, and get back more than you give. We connect you to local volunteer organizations with opportunities that fit your schedule and match your interests. Through AmeriCorps Seniors, you can support people in times of need and make your community stronger. You can become a companion to your older neighbors, brightening their days with friendship. You can even become a mentor for young people, serving as a role model and enriching their lives. Are you ready to seize your moment? Visit AmeriCorps.gov/yourmoment and get started today.
Love football, love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Bird live at Roosters.
Presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling.
Large amounts of football and all the ducky sauce you can handle. Mondays on the Fans YouTube channel.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one. To learn more and get help on any day, visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are looking ahead to a mix of clouds and sunshine here for today, but it will still be very cold with highs only around 17 here this afternoon. Winds out of the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And as we go through the next several days, we are still tracking more of the same with some sunshine and temperatures into the upper teens to near 20 here for your Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Darren White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Common man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy. Moonlight, says man's hemorrhoid. Common man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan. Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
I tell you, I think you were with me on this. Magic Johnson was your favorite player as a kid? Any sport, favorite basketball?
Man,
athlete?
I loved Magic. He was great.
Yeah, he was my guy, too. Never had the chance to meet him. I think it's one of those ones I don't know if I would want to for fear that it would maybe not live up to it, because he seems like everything you'd kind of want an interaction to be, that he'd be capable of that. But the idea, I have to assume this is now just, he's just doing this to troll people. He tweeted this last night. Ben Axelrod retweeted of awful announcing. This is his actual Twitter. To my surprise, the Cleveland Cavaliers blew out my Lakers. It was total domination in every basketball category with a score of 129-99. What is he doing? Just okay. All right, man. All right, Irv. Okay, bud.
It's a good observation. Like Magic.
That's
still
all
knows,
it is. It's,
Magic still knows ball. Clearly,
that's what he does. That's been his social operation the whole time. Like, it is the most obvious thing ever.
I am super sad. As much as I loved Magic, I am super sad that he's going to sign or trade for Ellie De La Cruz soon, and that's gonna hurt my heart a little bit, especially when Hosey's taking discounts to stay in Cleveland.
He was probably the first guy who really aced name, image, and likeness, because, I mean, he made a lot of money in the NBA, but he didn't make hundreds of millions of dollars. But he was one of the first guys who said, hey, put my name on a Starbucks, put my name on a Pizza Hut, put my name on cinemas. And he turned what was a, now some of that is he's the most popular athlete in the history of Los Angeles. So that helps too. But also the idea of, so he's in the right place, but he turned what was, you know, several tens of millions into a damn near worth $1 billion.
I'll never forget his commercials with Larry and McDonald's. Oh yeah. And then Magic wearing the Converse shoes.
Oh yeah, that was, yeah, I mean, that the Converse weapon. I had the Laker version of those, which were still my favorite shoes of all time. I don't know why they haven't run those back. This was a gutty win for the Blue Jackets. This one felt like it was going to be like, oh my God, here we go again in the third. They're up 3-1 going into the third. They give up the two quick goals to the Flyers. It's 3-3. And then lo and behold, they answer. And so they win again. This is one that it really couldn't go to extra. Not if you really wanted to get the full bonus of it. You needed to get the win in regulation. They did that. Rick Bonus, and the bonus bump just continues. Here he is, in terms of the way the team started and how they got it cleaned up after that.
Yeah, very impressed. Really, they hit nothing, and we were on top of them. You know, we still have things to, and you know, there's harsh reminders, like there's things we can clean up. to be even better than that. I think there's times we made it too easy for them to come at us, and that's puck management. We're going to clean that up, or we're going to keep addressing it anyways. They're going to get sick of me here talking about it. But so there's things we can clean up. But we did the right things at the right time for the most part, but it was very good to watch those first couple of periods because we weren't giving up anything. I think they had, and even in the second period, they had five chances, three were off the rush. Well, that was poor puck management by us more than anything. Then they one had the they had one in the D zone, and then they had one off that faceoff. So we were controlling the play pretty good, and I loved how we came up for the third, and we had the power play, had some good looks, and then it became even after that until they got that goal, and they picked it up. But you get in the third period in tight games, you can't be taking penalties.
Gets tied 3-3, and you, as a Jackets fan this season, go, well, here we go again, but it didn't happen. Rick was asked postgame, what was his message to the team after Philly tied it at 3?
Get ready for your next shift, right? Control what you can control. You can't do anything about that. Give them credit. They made a couple of good plays in those goals. Just get ready for your next shift. Put it behind you, and let's get back on our toes. We're an aggressive team. We're not going to sit. We're not sitting back. All right, they got it. They tied it up, right? We got a five-minute hockey game. Let's go win those 5 minutes. That's what we put the focus on.
It's be impossible to dispute the fact that this was the correct move bringing him in. It would be impossible to dispute the fact that the style of play that he is doing is one that this roster fits much better with. I think what is going to be a very interesting conversation for this team over the course of really the next month, because you're going to get that Olympic break. You got four games, and you got the Olympic break, and then the deadline happens after that. So the league's going to go on freeze for a couple of weeks, which is going to be honestly kind of weird that that's going to happen, but that is what's going to happen. And I think this is the part that's interesting to debate. Should the next four games, and we had Jody on yesterday for Shelly Time, and we talked about this a little bit, and he and I have talked about it on Shelly Time a bunch the last few times he's been on. Are these next four games going to determine what you do at the deadline? Should they? Should this team do anything at the deadline? Is this a buyer-seller team? Should they chase anything? Or should what they've already bought and sold, has that already been done?
So I think the next four games, if they go bad, could change the way of thinking, but I don't see that just because of who's on the schedule here coming up in these next four. You're going to Chicago, who's not great. You're going to St. Louis this weekend, not great. Mm-hmm. You have another game with Chicago at home, I believe, in those four. This team, if they decide to sell, has some pieces that are very intriguing to teams. Charlie Coyle, I think you could get the world for. A lot of teams would love to have a Boone Jenner. Maybe an Eric Goodbranson would be appealing to some teams. I do not think, and I do not get the sense from Don Waddell, that this team is selling, though. I think they believe in this team. It's why they fired Dean Evason and tried to get a jump. And I believe if you see anything, they are going to add, and I don't think it's rental type ads, though. It would be someone that they could have for the next 3 or 4 years, or maybe longer.
Next four, at Chicago, at St. Louis, at Jersey, home to Chicago a week from yesterday. That's it, and then you're on to the Olympic break.
And all of those teams that you just mentioned, well, obviously three of them, with the two with Chicago, are in the West, but all of those teams are teams that have less points than you. You actually jumped the New Jersey Devils last night. They've got 56 in the standings, at least. You jumped the Devils, Capitals, Maple Leafs, and Senators last night. So that game was huge, and it tied you with Philly, but Philly has the tiebreaker with you. You hopped all of those teams last night.
And I think saying this, you know, what was it, 2 weeks ago, Rick Bonus takes over. You were able to do it last night in front of your home fans. And you've got the three on the road, the three-game road trip that starts tomorrow in Chicago, and then the game before the Olympic break is on home ice against the Chicago Blackhawks. So four winnable games, four games that you don't necessarily have to worry like you did last night exactly about this can't go to overtime or what are we going to do with, you know, if they get, it's not going to be a four-point game you're going to have to worry about in any of those situations. What you can do is provide some excitement for the comeback. Right, you can make the fans and you can make even bandwagon fans or fans that just support this team when they're good excited for when they return from that Olympic break, because you're going to see Zach almost every time Team USA plays a game, and I think you're going to get kind of a similar bump you got with the Four Nations, because the way he's going to play, I expect to be pretty damn good. And so this was something I said 2 weeks ago, I think is even more true now that they're able to 7-1 since Bonus took over. Mm-hmm. You've won your last three. You've got winnable games in front of you. Then you've got a break. Then you've got a trade deadline. Like, the opportunity is there for this Blue Jackets team to make this special, whereas we were saying a month ago it wasn't going to be one.
By the way, speaking of Zach Werenski, mm-hmm. I don't know if people have been paying attention to him, and if they haven't, you should, because this is something special. Mm-hmm. You're watching. He's the leading point getter in the NHL for defensemen. He has passed Cale Makar, mm-hmm. who is well known in the hockey world, regarded as the best defenseman in the league.
Yep.
Zach Werenski is the leading point getter for all defensemen in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, he's a first team NHL defenseman. That's what he is. Reese, you bring up a great point, and it's something that the Blue Jackets, I'm sure they think about. Hockey is never more popular for the casual fan than it is following an Olympic. Never. You're going to see buy-in to hockey in February from the casual sports fan, the likes of which you don't see any other time. And this is why, as awkward as this is for owners, and I'm sure if you hooked them up to True Serum, they would tell you they hate it because their assets are going over and playing at risk for injury and everything else. The bump that they get from it, they don't get it from anything else. It's the one time that hockey, which is no question a niche sport at this point, it's the one time it crosses over to mainstream in the biggest way possible. And if Team USA makes a run, if somehow you get Team USA, Team Canada, even if they don't have to play for the gold medal, even if they just get to the semifinal, although they probably both should, even if they get to a semifinal, like the momentum that comes from that, the bounce that comes from that is something that you have to capitalize on if you're a team like the Columbus Blue Jackets. So if they can win three out of the next four, be in a position where you're knocking on the door. Right now, they're 8 points out in the wild card. Boston's the last wild card team. Montreal's there as well. They're both at 65 points, and the Jackets are 8 out. You're actually closer in the Metro for third in the Metro than you are you're 6 out for third in the Metro with Pittsburgh and the Islanders.
That's what you're looking at.
Yeah, is tracking that down. I said yesterday I didn't think that was LeBron's last game in Cleveland last night. Might want to amend that. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Cool. Which led you to smoking. Which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone. Which led to starting a life with them. Which led to wanting to live longer. Which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
All right, here's what's up on a Thursday edition of the program. Yesterday, Reese, you were out. I said I thought that LeBron James, when he was done playing basketball, would announce it and would have a retirement tour. And before anybody jumps on him and said, well, of course he would. He's an attention seeker. They all are. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did this in the 80s. I remember watching an All-Star game where they brought out a rocking chair for Kareem and celebrated this was his last tour. He did this. Kobe did this. He let it be known. I was at the last game Kobe played up in Cleveland, and it was standing ovation the whole time and all of it because he wanted it. And so I don't begrudge anybody for wanting it. And I assumed that LeBron would do the same thing, whether it was in Los Angeles or Cleveland. And I do think those are the only two options. My hunch was that he would want that full tour, and maybe he still will, but something did hit a little bit different last night when they played up in Cleveland. So before the game started, the Cavaliers did a montage of LeBron's 48-point game against Detroit in the 2007 Eastern Conference Finals, which is really one of the greatest individual performances of all time, with what he did in that one. It ended with a standing ovation. LeBron did the chalk toss. He did all of the things. And as they were playing the montage, he got emotional to the point where he actually buried his head in his jersey to kind of hide the tears that were there. Now, he had family there, and Bronny was there, and there were all these other things that probably added to it. He was asked post-game, the Cavaliers beat the brakes off the Lakers, as Magic Johnson alluded to in his Twitter, his tweet yesterday. LeBron was asked post-game if it could be his last game in Cleveland. Here's his answer.
Yes, I mean, at this, every road arena that I've been in, you know, I think I talked about that, that just trying to take take everything in, not take the moments for granted, because it could be, you know, obviously I haven't made a decision on the future, but it very well could be. So, you know, no matter if it's here or, you know, going to Washington, playing the next game, Garden, Barclay, you know, on this trip. So obviously it means a little bit more here for me personally because of, you know, grew up, you know, 35 minutes south of here.
He was also asked about his thoughts on the tribute video that the Cavaliers did for him.
I don't know. Expect that, but obviously a lot of memories here, a lot of history. So just super grateful and thankful, you know, for the time, you know, spent here and the memories. I obviously looked up there. I remember that moment like it was yesterday. Obviously underdog going against that Detroit Pistons team and for us to win that game and then ultimately winning game six, I believe, here and going to the NBA Finals. It was a pretty cool moment.
That was 19 years ago. I mean, just think about that. That was 19 years ago when he did that. Reese, do you even have recollections of a sports fandom without him?
Vague, yeah. I mean, I remember the only time I ever won a NCAA tournament bracket pool was when I had Carmelo Anthony and Syracuse winning the whole thing. So, like, I do remember, and obviously growing up with the NBA Finals, and mm-hmm. that was really the only time you consumed much NBA is when Michael Jordan was in the finals. But yeah, he's been so much a part of my sports life. I was going to ask you a question about your kids. Do they connect LeBron with the Cavaliers as much, or is, I mean, because it would have been more in his mm-hmm. basketball playing career with when your kids are in their more formative years and getting into that point, Heat, Cavs, now Lakers.
My oldest does.
Okay.
NBC remembers him as a Cav vaguely. So he was five when they won it in 2016. So he has some recollection of that. But I think most of his recollection of that is through like images or videos or photos. He was a ball boy for a game up there. And LeBron like gave him a high five in that year in 2016, like we got him down on the court and he was like a ball boy. And so like, I've got an image of LeBron, like giving him a high five as he was in like the line or whatever. So he has that recollection of it. But quite honestly, for my kids, when they think of the Cavaliers, they think of Donovan Mitchell.
So that's where what they think of. This, it gets us to what happened last night, because I think yeah. for the Cavs and for LeBron now, and I was thinking about this after the game, both parties don't owe each other a thing. Both no. parties, I think, can have the wonderful history that they have, but I didn't think a tribute video was necessary last night, unless it was going to be the last time he was going to play professional basketball in that stadium.
I think on the tribute, I think the thing that they have tried doggedly to do over the last several years with him is make sure that if there is ever a chance that he could come back, he feels welcome to do so. I don't, by the way, think it was a coincidence that Dave McMenamin wrote that story on the day of yesterday. He wrote a story leading into the game about how, you know, Cleveland would welcome LeBron back. I mean, I think all of that is done very, very on purpose with the idea of let's make sure LeBron has a great experience if this is his last time in Cleveland. He's the most important athlete. I mean, he's one of the most important athletes in the state of Ohio ever. I mean, he's on the Mount Rushmore of Ohio athletes. I mean, he's all of that. And so, I think there is something to that. And obviously they're going to retire his jersey one day. They're going to put a statue up of him in front of it, like all of that stuff. And so I think what they have tried to do, and I give Dan Gilbert a great deal of credit for this and the people who work up there a great deal of credit. They've kind of made it really important to make sure that that is a relationship that is very good. And I think it is now. I think it's at least solid. I don't know if it's ever going to be warm and fuzzy between Dan and LeBron, but I think at the very least it's something where there's some mutual respect. And I like how you put it, where nobody owes anybody anything. And I think you can be in a positive place if you have that.
Yeah, it's always nice, obviously, to see how embraced he is. But I think more and more people feel less of a disconnect. More and more people feel LeBron is just an NBA player that has played for all of these different teams. Less like where you think of certain players with one, like Tom Brady, you think of him with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. There are some that probably think of him as a Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback, but like some of the greats, like Michael Jordan, you never think of anything else. You don't think about the Wizards.
No.
You think of him as one team, and I don't think LeBron's got that anymore.
I think LeBron James is going to have kind of two legacies.
Yeah.
I mean, I think historically, he's going to be whatever your age. Like, this is going to break some old head's heart, but most kids think he's the best player ever. Like, I ask my kids this before every practice, like the start of the year, who do you think is the greatest basketball player of all time? And usually it's like 60-70% of the 10, 6 or 7 of the 10 will say LeBron. There's usually one or two that say Mike, but that's usually only if their dad's a coach and they look at the dad. And the dad is like, you better say Mike. But most of them say LeBron is kind of the answer to that. So I think he's the 1 or 1A best basketball player of all time. He is, along with Tiger Woods and the Williams sisters, a group of these athletes who were identified young and then lived up to all of it. I mean, just that isn't a crazy thing, to be identified at 14 and then deliver on all of the promise. I mean, the idea that we got to witness that. Tiger, the Williams sisters, and LeBron were prodigies and known at 13, 14, and then they delivered on all the hype. And then the other part of his legacy, and it is real, he is the face, for me at least, he's the face of the AAUification of the NBA, of let's all play with our buddies. And everybody went, there was a decade plus where everybody wanted the big three and everybody wanted super teams and everybody wanted all of these things. And to be fair, the Celtics did do it first. I mean, they went and got Kevin Garnett and they did that. But then LeBron took it to a whole nother level, and it probably crescendoed with, Kevin Durant going to Golden State as the, like, wait, what? You're going to a 73 win team and you just were playing them in the Western Conference Finals. What's going on? So I think that's part of it too. That's gone. That isn't really there anymore. I mean, now, you know, Joker's going to play his whole career in Denver. Giannis is going to get traded, but he's well past his prime at this point. So that part's kind of gone a little bit. But I think it's both of those things for him, Vic.
Yeah, and I wonder if LeBron would have went to Miami without the decision, how different that would be. I wonder if it would just be another guy leaving his team in free agency. But I think the decision and doing it publicly like that, I also think it hurts LeBron that Cleveland was his home and he left his home and people were kind of crazy about that. Like, how could you ever leave your home? Bo, I'll take your, you say most kids nowadays think LeBron. Yeah. I feel like most people a generation younger than us, I think there's a lot of people in their 30s that feel like LeBron is the best player ever.
Yeah, I think that's that too. I think there is a lot of that. Yeah, and he might, I mean, there's no precedent for what he's done. He's in his 22nd year in the league. He's averaging 22, 6, and 7 on a team that's really good in the West. Like, this isn't Kobe at the end, playing on bad teams. And now they have Luka. Obviously, that helps. But, like, he's still being very, very effective in his 40s. It's pretty wild when you consider all of it. The Browns made a head coaching hire yesterday. It is Todd Monken. I know him quite well. We will get into that and kind of what happened in the afternoon in regard to Jim Schwartz. We'll get into all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
The sound of Paul Keels calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's Tebow.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Join The Fan weeknights at 6 for the Buckeye Show. And if you're asking if it's just a bunch of homers rooting for all things Ohio State, yes, yes it is. Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Bo knows many people. He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
And it's your Uncle Bo here. When it comes time to buying a ring, you don't guess. You just simply go with the best. And that's why I trust my friends at Diamond Seller every time. Whether you're ready to pop the question or walk down the aisle, there's only one true jeweler for a moment this big. For nearly 80 years, kids, Diamond Seller has been helping guys get it right. Luxury designer collections, expert in-house designers who can build a ring that's strong, timeless, and one of a kind. And guy to guy, they make it easy. There's no pressure, no confusion. Just great advice. The right ring. This is about quality, trust, and getting it right the first time. Visit Diamond Seller at Sawmill Road, Easton Town Center, or online at DiamondSeller.com. Yesterday, the Browns made it official. Todd Monken will be the new head coach of your Cleveland Browns. In the kind of aftermath of that decision, Tom Pelissero, among others reporting, the Browns informed Jim Schwartz that they were taking Todd Monken over him as head coach. Schwartz, visibly upset, according to Pelissero's reporting, said his goodbyes in the building and told other coaches he's not coming back. Schwartz is under contract and Cleveland wants to retain him, but his future is now unclear. I have not seen anything this morning to lead me to believe that there is anything different in the making up there based on what Pelissero's reporting was yesterday. In terms of Todd Monken, I explained this yesterday on the program. I know him quite well. In 2019, when he was the offensive coordinator up there, the year Freddie Kitchens was the head coach and Kitchens was calling the plays at that time, Todd would come into the Cleveland Browns daily studio regularly. And I mean, every week, and we would chop it up with him and chat with him. And, he's a man's man coach. He's a straight shooter. He's sarcastic. You ask him a direct question, you're going to get a direct answer. I think from an offensive standpoint, he has proven during his time at Georgia and his time at Baltimore that he will build an offense based on the skill set. I don't think you're ever going to see a square peg round hole situation with him. He's not going to try to make people do something they're not good at. So I think he can emphasize that. I think from a roster building standpoint, he's going to have a pretty big say in what the next 120 days or so looks like through the draft in terms of what needs to happen on that offensive front. I think the only thing that would probably view this for some Browns fans as a negative is his age. I think that's probably it. Because if you look at the offenses he coordinated in Baltimore the last 3 years, up until last year when they had the injuries to Lamar, it's the best Lamar ever played, and the Ravens' offense was as dynamic as any offense in the National Football League. Now, I certainly understand why there's skepticism. You guys are both Browns fans. I'd be happy to take any questions.
My biggest question is with Jim Schwartz. Like, the Monken thing's fine. The last three teams, now there's two teams with that head coach. This was kind of the direction I thought Cleveland was going to go in. It was either Jim Schwartz or Todd Monken or maybe Udinski. But I was out on that because he's 30. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just very difficult if you want to be the head coach at that age, especially when I think there's so much more to being a head coach than just knowing ball. I certainly don't want to. And Shula and some of the other guys with Los Angeles and Seattle certainly can't question their football bona fides, but it's a little bit more than that when you want to be a head coach. So, yeah, Monken's age, I don't see why Browns fans would think that's a negative because he's done it everywhere. And so I look at with what he did with Lamar and I said, okay, if they can build talent in this draft around a Shador and bring in a veteran, then maybe you can talk yourself into winning eight games this season with him in year one. My biggest question is with the defense, because it did feel like the leaders on that defense were really big with Jim Schwartz, really close to him. And so if he's not coming back, then you need to make sure that the defensive coordinator for Monken can come in and command that sort of, or at least have some of that relationships, or at least cultivate relationships the way Jim Schwartz did while also commanding a top flight defense in the NFL, because that's where it's going to stand if there's going to be any success with this. And also, is Monken's deal 5 years? Why are we doing all of this?
Yeah, that's a new thing.
Yeah.
That's a new NFL thing now. Everything's a 5-year deal. They used to be 3- and 4-year deals, but now everything's going to 5. In regard to Schwartz, it's I get it from his perspective.
Makes
sense. I mean, when you go through one of these processes, you have to think about this. You're essentially dating. Think of it in this perspective. It's like dating. It's like The Bachelor. You're dating 3 girls at the same time. They were dating Schwartz, Shielhouse, Monken. And then they had to pick one of them to marry. So the other two aren't probably very happy, especially when you're living with one of them. And that's the situation with Schwartz. So I get that, certainly. I'll be very curious to know if there was a cool down process and if something has changed in that over the last 12 hours or so. If it hasn't, and certainly the preference is to bring Jim Schwartz back and have him to continue to coordinate a defense. By the way, their investment on defense is significantly more than offense as it stands right now in terms of draft picks. I mean, just look at what they did even last year in the draft. I mean, their first 2 picks were a defensive tackle and an off-ball linebacker. So, like, their emphasis has been on the defensive side for a while and getting that right. If Schwartz isn't back, there is a guy on their in their operation now who's been a coordinator before who could do it, and that's Jason Tarver. He's the linebacker coach up there. He's got a ton of energy, and he could run that exact same defense. He's been a defensive coordinator with the Raiders from 2012 to 2014, worked with the Niners from 15 to 17. So he's been around. He's been in Cleveland as linebacker coach since 2020. So he could do the job if Schwartz decides that this isn't a place he wants to be anymore.
Also, I didn't know that Bubba Ventrone was so hotly was Good such God. A hot commodity.
Don't let the door hit you.
The
Peter Schrager tweet yesterday on that. I mean, the special teams up there have been a struggle.
They haven't been good. So I wondered. That's the thing with it is the Monken as head coach of the Browns. Fine. I don't really feel one way or the other about. To be honest, it's all of the other pieces with their coaching staff. And I thought, okay, well, let's, you know, if Bubba Ventrone has offers, maybe let him go pursue those offers. I'm totally fine with it. And then I saw that and I go, oh, a lot of people want him. Mm-hmm. They can have him.
Are we still asking General Manager Bishop questions?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Fire.
All right. So my questions, General Manager Bishop. One, what was it about Nate Shielhouse's last interview that turned the Browns off? And then secondly, did you guys think that Jim Schwartz was going to stay on regardless, and if you thought that was that naive?
So as much as I love this game, I was not part of the hiring process, so I can't tell you about Nate Shielhouse in terms of his, you know, how that last one went. One thing I would say on that is, think about Shielhouse Yudinski. Shielhouse is 35. He's only been the offensive coordinator once, and it was at Iowa State. So he hasn't called plays in the NFL. I have no idea if Nate Shielhouse's plan was to call plays or not. I have no idea. Like, I assume if you hired him, you would want him to call plays. And if he wasn't going to call plays, well, now I have to hire an offensive coordinator too. So I think that's a play calling offensive coordinator, if that's the case. And that's something that the only people who know that are the people in the room and certainly Nate Shielhouse. Todd Monken, you're not going to have that problem. He's going to call the plays. Maybe on the last part, maybe it was naive to think that maybe Schwartz would be happy with all of it. You know, I guess we'll see how this all shakes out. You know, we haven't heard anything publicly from Jim yet, so we'll see where this kind of all shakes out on that side of things. I do think he and Todd, I don't know if they know each other well or not. I'm not sure if they've ever crossed paths, but from a personality standpoint, they're very similar. Very similar.
I did think this about Monken yesterday. Like, he'll crush the introductory press conference.
Oh, dude. I mean, he's going to have no
Cleveland's going to love him.
Yeah. No, you ask him a direct answer, you're going to get a direct question, you're going to get a direct answer. Like, there's not going to be any, he's not going to do, well, I appreciate the question, blah, blah, you know. I mean, you're going to get
it's
your
a good
answers.
Question.
Yeah, you're not going to get that.
I don't need to do that.
You're going to get your
answer. So, no, Mary Kay, I understand the question, but
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I don't think you're going to get that from him. I think he's pretty direct. In thing or not a thing, Emmanuel Acho had a crazy take on all of this, and we'll get to that coming up in a little thing or not a thing. We'll open up the mailbag coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead.
Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes.
The Fan.
Hey, it's Austin.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler.
They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one. To learn more and get help on any day, visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Enjoy more.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
For home appraisal, after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
You still thinking job?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
If you're a coach, do you ever feel overwhelmed supporting kids' mental health?
Teachers need tons of help.
I had never experienced players being so down that they can't even participate.
It's so important that we are constantly educating ourselves.
It's the same as the CPR class to me. We're trying to save a life here.
The Kids Mental Health Foundation has free tools and information developed by experts. Scan the QR code or check out kidsmentalhealthfoundation.org to get started.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Honey Britton, I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Four games remain for the CBJ before the Olympic break. Columbus will ride a three-game winning streak into Chicago to take on the Blackhawks Friday. CBJ beat the Flyers 5-3 last night at Nationwide. Sean Monahan broke a 3-all tie in the third period. Elvis Merzlikins had 24 saves in the win. Rick Bonus improves to 7-1 behind the Blue Jackets bench. CBJ are 6 points out of a playoff spot. In the NBA last night, the Cavaliers beat the Lakers 129-99 in Cleveland. Donovan Mitchell led with 25 points. Cavs have won 5 straight. They're in Phoenix on Friday. In college hoops, the 11th-ranked Ohio State women's squad hosts Wisconsin tonight at 8. Buckeyes look to bounce back from Sunday's loss at number 10 Iowa. Tyler Danberg will have the call on Thursday with coverage at 7:45 over on the Fan 2. That's 1460 on the AM dial. And in college football, Ohio State's got 7 home games in 2026. ESPN's Paul Feinbaum will join Bo Bishop coming up in 30 minutes right here on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour on a Thursday. Time to open up that mailbag, fellas.
Our comment box is always open. Any feedback is mostly appreciated.
The mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more. And you got to get it up. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in. Again.
Bishop and Friends present emails.
So now we're in a situation where we have the main, now our new mailbag, which is it linked now? Baked? Is it all linked up on the site to where?
I have not checked. I will need to check that and see.
Right. We'll check with the top men. 971BFS at Gmail for your mailbag questions. And then I'm still getting them in the traditional way. So now we've got dueling mailbags. But I'd like to get to a point where they're just in the Gmail. That would be the ideal way to do it. So a bunch of them in there. And you guys, you ace the assignment as is typical. Let's start with this one from Connor. Listening to the schedule game and trying to figure out what time slot the Buckeyes will have each game made me want to try to predict the draft order of games and want to know what you all would think the draft order would be. We know Fox gets the first three picks of weeks, but how does it break down after that? There are other good games some weeks but happen to be on weekends, whereas another great game. For example, Penn State and Michigan play on October 17th. Just guessing, have to imagine the order goes something similar. So here is our thought, and Connor, thank you for your compliments on the show. So he has his number number one pick still being Ohio State, Michigan. That'll be Fox's number one pick. I think that that is accurate. Number two pick, he has Ohio State at Indiana. It had to be because they've already... Well, they haven't announced that yet, right? Or have they?
They haven't announced...
Just assume
the kick time for it, or the network. I think we're all just we've all just been so beaten down by it over the last couple of seasons where we just expect a big noon at Bloomington.
Okay, so I think I don't have any problem. His third pick, he believes, will be Oklahoma at Michigan. So that one goes third. So he thinks Michigan, Ohio State, Ohio State at Michigan, Oklahoma at Michigan will be the first three picks for Fox. That'll be their first three weekends. Now here is 4 through 10 for him. Oregon at Ohio State. So then if that were the case, then that one would be either an NBC or a CBS game. I don't know who has first pick between NBC and CBS, but that one would be one that then wouldn't get a big noon designation to it. Michigan is at Oregon. That can't be big noon. So that's either 3:30 or 7:30. It screams 7:30 to me. That's on November 11th. Ohio State at USC. That can't be big noon either. So that one's going to be 3:30 or 7:30. Indiana at Michigan. I think that's kind of the sweet spot for that. USC at Penn State. Oregon at USC. And then Ohio State at Iowa. Those are his best guesses of the top 10 best television games for this year in the Big Ten.
I would swap that Michigan-Oklahoma thing because you've got a chance to put Oregon at Ohio State on your network. I think Fox would go for that more so than Oklahoma in the Big House.
I kind of tend to agree with that, but I don't know. You know, Michigan and Oklahoma did good last year.
Sure.
So
I think you're probably right. Oregon at Ohio. The one thing I will say to Oklahoma and at Michigan is it's early enough in the year that neither one of those teams will have losses. So you're not gambling on will they be good. Mm-hmm. You feel very confident that Oregon at Ohio State, they're both going to be good. I got to tell you, Connor, this is a pretty good list. I think it's pretty on point for how this thing likely would look. And I think the only real conversation piece would be Oklahoma at Michigan versus Oregon at Ohio State. Which one would Fox rather have?
Bo, I just saw this. I know this is emails. We can talk about this later, especially with who we have coming on the program. Mm-hmm. But I just saw this, and it made me laugh. Todd Haley, the offensive coordinator for your Columbus Aviators.
Oh, yeah.
Just announced.
No, I thought they had that.
I don't know. The press release just came out, so.
I thought it was out. Didn't we talk about that like 2 weeks ago?
I saw in the Dispatch a while back.
Yeah, I think we saw that one.
Okay.
But yeah.
It's official. Also, the email is connected to the show page.
Oh, there you go. Good job. This one from Jeff. The title is Ryan Day's Approach is Best and Will Endure. Hi, Bo. I know that there's been a significant discussion regarding roster building, portal approach, high school recruiting. This discussion is juxtaposed with what Cignetti has done at Indiana. I know that many teams will do their best to try and copy what Cignetti did, and we already see that with Texas Tech and others dropping money bags in the portal. That's not exactly what Cignetti did, parenthetically. They didn't just do that. Like, they benefited tremendously from those JMU kids coming in waves, the first year especially, and even still this year, there were still some holdovers that were key players. I'm glad Ohio State and Ryan Day aren't hopping on that trend. I tend to think that hiring Arthur Smith continues that he's going to continue to lean into Ohio State being NFLU and emphasizing developing NFL talent. I know talked about the relevance of developed here, but in my opinion, that will never go out of style. I think it's why Chris Henry Jr. didn't leave, nor did Jeremiah Smith. Some players will keep chasing the highest bag and more power to them, but the world-famous Ohio State Buckeyes that produce NFL talent that is equal or more to the powerhouses of the South, we should never abandon that, and having two coordinators that have extensive NFL coaching experience is a great way to continue to lean into that. I think buying players in the portal as your main roster-building strategy is just a fad. Just like crypto might be new and enticing, but I'm always going to put my money with the aristocrats, and Ohio State is one of them, and they shouldn't be completely flipping their philosophy just because there's something new but less sustainable and sound. I think it's a little bit of both. I think the philosophical change for Ohio State is going to be we are going to go after 5 to 8 blue chippers in recruiting, and then we are going to fill the class with developmental kids who buy in and really want to be Buckeyes. And so that number will be between 15 and 18, and your portal classes will be very pointed and direct and focused. You're never going to – I don't think Ohio State will ever be LSU Now, some of that's because they have a new coach, but I don't think you're ever going to see 30 transfer kids coming in here. I think what you're going to see is, I don't know if I'm going to pay a left tackle as an 18-year-old. I think I'm just going to get one of those out of the portal. I think that's the way that they're going to manage it. I don't think recruiting's ever going away. I just think you're not going to see 25-player classes anymore.
Which is the way it should be. Like, I still keep going back to that recruiting championship USC they got. Congratulations on that. How many wins is that going to get you? Is that going to get you any closer to a Big Ten championship?
Well, you were off when the Seton kid committed to LSU over the weekend.
Oh, that happened?
That Colorado paid all that money to play 2 years at Colorado, and now he's at LSU. So he developed at Colorado. Now he's going to start for LSU at left
Almost
tackle.
On every corner in South Florida is a Publix and a Raising Cane's. So I get it.
The two things I will say about that email, and I don't think high school recruiting is ever totally going to go away, especially here at Ohio State. The two things I will say to that is it's kind of proven the older the kid beats the younger kid, unless it's Jeremiah Smith. Like, a team full of 21 and 22-year-olds is going to beat a team full of 18-year-olds. And the second point of that, you can't keep guys around and keep paying them when you haven't seen any production. And I will always look at the Quincy Porter argument for this year. Like, you gave him so much money to come to Ohio State, and then he asked for more to stay. Well, we didn't even see you on the field.
No.
Like, we can't keep giving you money when you're not giving us production.
By the way, don't take our word for it. Take the word of Urban Meyer, who we'll hear from coming up in the third hour of this program, in terms of how you're going to put together a roster. Chad asks, hey guys, how much is Ohio State losing on NIL money with Value City no longer funding the basketball court sponsorships? So those are two separate things entirely, and I think sometimes this gets confusing. Whoever sponsors, whether it's the basketball, whether it's the football, that is money that's going to the athletic department. NIL is not coming from the athletic department. NIL is coming from boosters and businesses. So those two things are not linked. So that's kind of the way that all of that works. And that dovetails into this question from George, who has questions for Ross Bjork in regard to the uniform patch. Will there be a no blue caveat?
I hope so.
Yeah, but if Nationwide says we want our logo on the jersey,
it'll be not only on your side, but on your front. Yeah, that's what the money's for. You will have this blue hue. Now, I wonder if concessions can't be made. So if you do the Nationwide, it's just the white Nationwide on the scarlet uniforms, and then on the white uniforms, maybe. But I mean,
it's blue. It's royal blue and white.
It's a different shade of blue, right?
It is. It is.
The pin is
I never understood
blue.
That with Urban anyway. Like, he was so worried. Like, all shades of blue? They all are outlawed? He continues, unlike other schools, why does Ohio State have two logos? A lot of schools have multiple logos.
Merchandising.
Yeah, that's right. Good job at you, Mr. Schwartz. Is Ohio Stadium turf compliant? Starting with the 2026 season, the NFL is implementing stricter mandatory league-approved standards for all stadium playing surfaces, natural, synthetic, or hybrid, to enhance player safety. I assume that it is. I don't know that it's at an NFL level or what the NFL is going to have coming forward. It's pretty stupefying. It's just not grass, honestly. Last one in this segment from John. Joshua Perry had been filling in for Reese. With him being there, I'd love to hear your take on Brian Kelly. I've always thought he was a mediocre coach, but it seems like some school would hire him. When the legal stuff is done, will he ever coach again? I'm sure he will. All these guys, that's their why. This is how they get up in the morning. I don't know if it's going to be at a blue blood again. I mean, he coached Notre Dame and LSU. I don't know that he's going to get that type of job again, but I wouldn't be surprised if he coached somewhere again.
Yeah, a smaller Power Four,
sure,
maybe, definitely in the G5. Was it G6 in it now?
Yeah, I mean, I could see him coaching. I mean, you just think about where places you're familiar with. I mean, I could see him coaching. Isn't he from the Northeast? Like, couldn't you see him coaching Boston College or Syracuse or NC State? I don't know. I'm just throwing out East Coast schools.
Bo, I think the first two you said there are great. I don't know why the two schools that popped into my head. And one of them, obviously, he was there before, but the two schools that popped into my head were like Cincinnati and Purdue. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see Brian Kelly ending up somewhere like that.
Yeah, coaching. For sure. Absolutely. All right, we'll continue with your email, including a massive wedding conundrum. That is coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America.
There's no joke there.
We just are.
The Fan.
Ohio's sports destination.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And an ice.
Whether you have the right chef to prepare that meal is still the biggest question.
Do you have Bobby Flay, Rachel Ray, stupid sandwich?
Rothman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan.
Thanks to your support, the nonprofits VetTix and FirstTix have given away tens of millions of tickets and counting to vets currently serving military, the immediate family of troops killed in action, and our brave current and former first responders. These tickets are a meaningful way to say thank you to America's heroes. And now, we want you to be part of the mission. Got extra tickets to concerts, games, or special events? Or want to see if you qualify? We want you to go to VetTix.org and FirstTix.org today. Give something to those who gave.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are looking ahead to a mix of clouds and sunshine here for today, but it will still be very cold with highs only around 17 here this afternoon. Winds out of the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And as we go through the next several days, we are still tracking more of the same with some sunshine and temperatures into the upper teens to near 20 here for your Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Common Man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy. Moonlight, says man's hemorrhoid. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan. Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And we are proudly sponsored and brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 80 years. Back into the mailbag we go. This one from Chris, who writes, so question for you, Bo. What did your son say when you told him how you were going to pay up the bet? If you said this already, I must have missed it. I have not gotten to that point yet. So I do have to, I'm going to do that. So in the last 2 weeks, he has wrecked my snow skis, which I'm going to charge him for. And he goes, so what are you going to do? Just everything I wreck, now I have to pay for? Yes. Yes.
Welcome to the real world.
Yeah, that's the real world, coach. That's how that's going to go.
He wreck your snow skis?
Trying to go off rails and stuff. I said, did it ever occur to you that you're not a good enough skier to do the stuff you're doing? You bozo?
Like, where are these rails?
Oh, all these ski resorts have them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have rails. They all think they can jump. He's not good enough to do it. It's ridiculous. My wife was all, oh, he's such a good skier. Then I saw a video of him skiing. I'm like, yeah, okay, let's settle down. He's not Alberto Tomba. It's going to be fine. He's going to be competent. I may record it when I tell him that it's going to be invested as opposed to straight cash so he can't buy sports cards, of which he spends all this money on and just opens them all looking for like one and then burns the rest of them. Email continues. Also, have you talked to Ross Bjork about your solution to fix the athletic calendar? I remember you actually mentioning it, if you have or not. Personally, I think your idea, along with the 16-game playoff, and make the conference championships part of the 16, giving the conferences automatic two entrances there. Thanks for the time. Love the show. Keep up the stories from your family. And Bake and Reese are doing great. Love hearing from their stories as well. I have not talked to Ross about that. Next time he's on, I will. I'll run it by him. We haven't talked to him in a while. Maybe we just should do a state of state with him, see how everything's going. It's been a little bit of a problem, a little bit of a while since we have. All right, this one is from Polly. So it's twofold, fellas, twofold. Bo and the boys, big fan of the program, got a twofer for the mailbag. First topic, bachelor party. Getting married next fall and planning a late June bachelor party. Nothing wild, just a chill Airbnb with a private pool, grilling drinks, hanging out, maybe a couple of bars. Scottsdale was my first thought, but June heat is brutal and flights out of Cleveland have gotten insane. Everywhere is hot that time of year. So what destinations would you recommend that still fix the relaxing pool, not outrageously expensive vibe? I would do Carolinas or Florida Gulf. I think both of those work. I mean, you could do Outer Banks. You could go Hilton Head. All of those work. Those, I mean, Outer Banks and Hilton Head sounds like he lives. Let me see. Sounds like he lives in Northeast Ohio somewhere. Let me see. Oh, Chesterland. Yeah. So you could drive to those. I think you could do some stuff like in the, there's some cool stuff in like the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee. West Virginia's got some cool spots as well. Like if you're just looking to chill, I'm not sure if you're going to golf or not, but there's a lot of that out there too. But if you're just looking for a place to pool and chill and hang out and have a few pops, there's some really cool places on the East Coast to go. Any cool places you guys have been recently?
Yeah, we did Lake Norris a couple years ago. It was a really easy drive. You have to be careful because some of those rentals on the lake are just for families only. So they you roll up with 20 dudes, they might frown on that.
Where's Lake Norris, Reese?
Tennessee.
Yep, Tennessee. Okay.
Knox County. Which, probably nobody will care about this, but the mayor of Knox County, Kane. The wrestler, Kane.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
He's the mayor?
Mm-hmm.
Of a county?
Of a county.
A town?
Of a county in Tennessee.
He's Boss Hogg?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Knoxville, right? Is in Knox
Knoxville's
County?
Knoxville's in Knox County, correct.
He's the mayor of Knoxville?
Mayor of Knoxville. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's incredible. So I think there's a lot of good places. Go ahead, Bae.
Yeah, I'm with you. Scottsdale, I do think, would be hot that time of year. Vegas would be, too. Vegas is obviously cool for that pool vibe, if you want. But I'm somewhere in the Carolinas, golf or Tennessee, someplace around a golf, you know, something like that is always, if you're just truly looking for a nice chill time, I don't think you can beat that.
Yeah, all of that's, there's a lot of really cool drivable places that you can go. I used to say Nemecolon for an answer for that, but now Nemecolon's $75,000 a night to stay, so maybe not, because they're doing my theory, I think they're only renting out like six rooms a night.
But like for a bachelor party?
Yeah, it's pretty fun for that because you got two golf courses, you got skeet shooting, you got off road. It's I know it has like the family, and it's great for families too, but you know, it is pretty good for that. Here's his second. I was listening when you guys were talking about fall weddings and the danger of booking during Buckeye football seasons. I thought it was safe with my date. Oh, God. September 12th. Well, figured be some noon cupcake game, your Kent States, your Ball States of the world. Looked it up, Ohio State at Texas. Oh, geez.
He might be safe in this instance where you do your stuff during the day with the understanding that noon kick at DKR or that night kick at DKR.
Right. Yeah. He goes, night game, one of the biggest games of the year, so now what's the proper way to handle that at the reception without being that guy? TV in a side room, score updates, or just let everyone sneak peeks on their phone and suffer in silence, trying to respect the bride and Buckeye football. Go Bucks, Polly from Chesterland. Polly, this is what I would tell you. I got married on the Final Four.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it was Final Four Saturday. I didn't do the math on it. This is what I did, and several of my buddies who were at the wedding and in the wedding were involved, and I just didn't tell my wife. I just didn't tell her. And the reality is your bride is going to be so consumed with her day, and the day is especially about her. It's got nothing to do with you. Just show up, look good, don't make a fool of yourself, make a very nice speech to her parents and thank them for all that they did, praise her effusively throughout. She's going to be so locked into that, she's not going to be paying attention to your buddies looking at their phones at Ohio State, Texas. So I think this isn't ideal, obviously, but my guess is this late in the game, you can't change the date. I wouldn't set up a screening party or anything like that because then all of a sudden hangers-on are going to want to jump into it. So I would say just understand people are going to be looking at their phones. They're going to be checking on their phones. Your bride will likely not even notice, especially if it's a decent-sized wedding. She probably won't notice. I would just play that. I'd go that route with it.
Would it be out of the question to wheel a TV into one of the areas outside of the reception?
Depends on the reception place, but what you don't want is like, hey, it's the couple's first dance. Let's welcome Polly and Paulette. And all of a sudden, there's like six people in there because everyone's watching the last drive of the half for Ohio State, Texas. So if they're on their phones, which most people are on their phones all the time anyway, if they're on their phones, she might not even notice. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know if she'd notice. If you put a TV out and half the audience goes, she'll notice that.
I guess I just wonder if everybody's checking their phones in the moment and nobody's paying attention to the first dance or nobody's getting up to go.
They're not going to, but Reese, I'm telling you, she's going to be so locked into like her parents, her friends and him. I just don't know. I think we're okay. I think you're okay here. It's not ideal, Polly, but you can't switch the date at this point.
Guys, do not. If this is something you worry about or a lot of people in your circle worry about, do not do this on a football Saturday in the fall. Do it on the Friday night, and then you can take the wedding party and the people that are closest to you on Saturday and have another party, like another reception, watching the game the next day.
Yeah, it's a tough one, man. Night game, too. Like, if it was a noon kick, you might be okay. Last one from Greg, and this is just so indulgent, I had to share. I tried your suggestion of apple pie bourbon and loved it. I added an extra step, and I thought I would share. Pour about a finger of the bourbon into a glass. Take that glass and microwave it for 12 to 15 seconds. It should be hot. Then take a melon baller or a spoon, will work, and drop in a quarter-size ball of vanilla ice cream. Jeez. Swirl the ice cream a couple of times until the drink becomes opaque, and then shoot the warm apple pie with ice cream. I like to drink it while half of the ice cream is left so I can just enjoy that cool little leftover treat. Good night, Nurse Greg. What an idea.
Talk about dessert in a glass.
I mean, my God, that's bourbon apple pie a la mode. These are our listeners. That's elite. Of course I'm going to do that. I'm out of my apple pie bourbon, but I'm definitely going to run that back next year. That's a great idea out of him.
This sounds like something we could sell to people. Like, sell them the idea on this.
Let's get High Bank on the phone. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty dang good idea. That's a good job out of Greg. Paul Feinbaum in 2 minutes. Bishop and Fred's right here.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And Zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
It's almost football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, the Fan.
Bishop and Friends present college football's most polarizing figure.
Paul Feinbaum, listen to me.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Come on back to our show, Tim. The audience hates you.
This is ESPN's Paul Feinbaum.
And he joins on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline every single week at this time. So you had, this happens a lot for you, my friend, and I will admit I'm a little jealous of it. You had a little viral moment again this week. You got a caller on, and a tree falls into his house. Was it right before he got on the line with you or during?
It was right before. His name was Vance. And by the way, this is a guy that's made news before, about a year and a half ago, in the middle of a phone call. He's from Georgia. He started yelling at his cat, and he told the cat to shut up, which also got picked up. But this time, there was obviously a lot of ice issues in the south, so trees are falling. It's a little bit different than the north where you're used to it. And the call just started. I said, "Hey, Vance, what's going on?" And he said, "A tree just fell in my bedroom." I said, "Well, shouldn't you be addressing it?" And he said, "What the hell can I do about it now?" He said, "Let me just go ahead." And he immediately he went on and asked me about LSU and the portal. He didn't waste any time. And I know this guy, as you know, callers, and this is not some guy that just makes it up. He's about 70 years old, kind of a crotchety old guy. And he just said there was nothing. He called back yesterday and said, "Your insurance is out there." He was not happy about all the attention, though.
When did you, do you remember the moment that you realized that the callers on your show were special? And I mean that in the special sense, not necessarily the negative connotation of special. When did you realize you were onto something with them?
I don't know, maybe 20, 25 years ago. They started getting viral moments, and we leaned into it. And we don't have professional sports where I was at the time, and am now in Alabama. So you know the drill, being Columbus, even though you have professional sports. So we made at that moment, we decided, okay, the callers are going to be the star. And the biggest issue, though, Bo, was 13 years ago when I went to ESPN. I remember being up in Bristol, Connecticut, in a room with a bunch of empty suits. And one of them said, "You know, we need to get rid of the callers. So they're a deterrent." And I just let the argument go on. And finally, I told the next guy I could talk to afterwards. I said, "That's going to ruin the show. There are plenty of shows on ESPN that talk to one expert after another, and we can do that. But the callers remain the star." And fortunately, because I said I would leave the day they changed that, and so far I'm still there.
Yes, you are, my friend. Hey, speaking of pro teams, yesterday up in Cleveland, Todd Monken was named the head coach there. He won a couple of national championships with Kirby at Georgia and really elevated that offense. What do you remember about his time at Georgia before he got back to the league in Baltimore?
Well, I remember being very successful, and he did it with a walk-on quarterback, and that's what made it even more amazing. And what you hear more about Todd Monken now than even then is how average Georgia has been offensively without him. Mike Bobo came in, who was the offensive coordinator 20 years ago with Matt Stafford, and a lot of people tried to give him credit for that, although he had nothing to do with it. And it really came down to one play this year for Georgia. They were on the goal line against Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl. They couldn't get it in, so they kicked and ended up losing the game. And that is how this season will be remembered for them, and that's why Monken is such an important figure. I have no earthly idea whether anyone, Bill Belichick, Vince Lombardi, Paul Brown, you name it, could come out of either the grave or the sidelines and make the Browns legitimate. But I think he's an intriguing choice, though.
Yeah, Mike Bobo, the pride of Thomasville, Georgia, as well, and seems like forever in the womb with the dogs. Certainly, we've had some moments in college football, and at the end of last week, and you and I haven't had a chance to talk about this. Dabo Swinney gets in front of a mic, and he's got receipts, and he put on a heck of a show, Paul. But I said on our show up here, I said I really don't think anything's going to come of this. What did you make of what Dabo did, and what did you make of what appears to be relatively nothing that's happened since?
Well, what I really make of it is the praise he's getting. Like, he just did something that is going to revolutionize college football. I've been criticized, Bo, for saying it was a typical Dabo whining and all that. And a lot of people have said, I missed the point. And I understand what the point is. Yeah, he's got the receipts and he has Ole Miss cold. And I respond to that by saying, so what? What difference does it make? And I know that sounds absurd, coming from a former investigative reporter who once put a program on probation for essentially giving them a free Big Mac. But that's just where we are right now. And the NCAA said, oh, yeah, we're going to look into it. What does that mean? And I just think every time Dabo gets in this setting, he does it to deflect. He does it to get people to quit talking about a top five team going 7-6, losing to Penn State in a bowl game. And others argue, well, that's who Dabo is. Well, but every time Dabo makes a stand on this, he makes himself less attractive in the current era of college football.
Yeah, he really does. The thing that was interesting to me is, and Ole Miss wasn't much when I was down there, Paul, and haven't been much really for the majority of their history. How does Ole Miss have more financial might than Clemson?
Because they got serious about 5 years ago. Lane Kiffin pretty much willed them into it. He was going to leave, as he always is, and he finally got the attention of some fat cat lawyers in the state who dug deep and decided we are going to be legitimate. So that's how they became relevant. The question I have about programs like Ole Miss or can it be sustainable? You know, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan are going to make it with billionaires or not. Ole Miss is one of those that has to be good and relevant, otherwise fans become disinterested. And I think that's really where they are right now under Pete Golding.
Yeah, and then the flip side of that is, and I'm obviously very familiar with one of these programs. These two programs have won multiple national championships in the last 25, 30 years, but it's hard for me to see any path for Florida State and Clemson ever getting back to that area. And the idea that Florida State's basically just on a treadmill with Mike Norvell for a year, basically taking a year off of football is what it seems like to me before they can get rid of him on the buyout. I mean, those are two massive programs in terms of what they've accomplished in the last 40, 50 years of college football. And I don't see any scenario where either one ever gets back.
No, and Bo, it's interesting for all the high and mightiness of Dabo and whatever Florida State people are saying, those were two of the most cheating programs of the last 50 years. Clemson nearly got shut down. Florida State probably should have been shut down a couple of times. And now they're stuck. And they don't have the money. Florida State is pretty embarrassing. I mean, they're the ones who, 3 years ago, were demanding to get out of the ACC. And they can barely turn the lights on right now.
You're exactly right on that. Where did all the LSU money come from?
I'm still trying to figure that out because it is a very poor state. A lot of the fortunes of the state really rely on oil and gas, and depending on what that price is on the big board. And they have struggled in recent years. I had somebody about 3 years ago tell me he did an autopsy of the program for the president. He asked them to come in from another school, and they didn't have much money. So I don't know. I know that they got a big booster out in California. Kind of the usual track is they turned LSU connections into money. But I don't know how to explain what Lane Kiffin did in the portal. I know you keep track of it. It was pretty unbelievable how he finished at the end.
Well, that's what I don't understand. Like, everyone's got some sort of budget, and it appears that he doesn't. And the programs that typically don't have budgets are Texas Tech, Texas A&M, schools like that that got oil money and multi-billionaires and all of those things. And obviously there's a Raising Cane's component there, but I mean, that's a big price tag. But Ohio State got took a lot of flack a couple of years ago, the year they won the national title, for a $20 million roster. I mean, I was looking at like their portal. I mean, I hazard to guess what the number is. And then they add Seton over the weekend. And I mean, his walk-in price was $2 million. Like, do you even have a guess of what they've spent in the portal?
I would say north of 40. I don't know how they could have done it otherwise, based on what we know. And it's a question I will definitely try to find a better answer to, other than I don't know. It seemed like it trickled down from the top. When the governor, you know, after his song and dance, when he decided to go all in on Kiffin, it was almost like a green light went off where everybody, like where you give to a senatorial campaign or a presidential campaign, it was like, okay, let's go. And that tells me the money's coming from all kinds of places that are probably not traceable.
I think that part, the investigative reporter's still in you, buddy. Appreciate you as always, my friend.
You bet. Talk soon, bro.
All right, there he goes. Paul Feinbaum, the Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN, the SEC Network, on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Yeah, it's not just the money they've spent on the portal. It's also they had to pay a buyout, massive buyout, for Brian Kelly, and then they had to give Lane Kiffin $100 million. So it's not just a $50 million portal class. It's a couple hundred million, and that's I'm not making that up. Like, that's the number it probably costs to pay for all of this stuff at LSU. We'll get you some thing or not a thing coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is The Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Incova Insurance. We've asked you a few times about Puff Johnson getting back into the swing of things. Getting a couple of big offensive rebounds had to be a big asset for what he brings.
Yeah, plays really hard. There's a toughness to him. He's really a high-level communicator when he's on the court, which is something we need. And I thought his activity on the glass was great. So he's got to continue to, you know, get more comfortable out there. But I think we're seeing progress here real quickly.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Incova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Incova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Incova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Incova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Incova on your team. Visit Incova.com today to find an agent near you. Incova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams. The agile, get it done teams. The achieve more together teams. And the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Learn more about Ohio State at osu.edu/impact.
Over the last few weeks, Jake, I've asked you more than a few times about Ivan Yagoba and the way he's played. And you mentioned after the game that he was playing to his size. What kind did he mean when you say that?
Well, I think, you know, there's times where he doesn't necessarily get credit on the stat sheet for how he impacts the other team's ability to finish at the rim. And when he utilizes his frame and has great technique and doesn't foul, you know, and forces misses just by walling up or being big, it's really helpful for us. So it's a form of rim protection, his size is, even though it doesn't always show up in the stat sheet.
Are we starting to see his touch offensively?
Yeah. He's got good touch. He works hard. He's a skilled player. He's got to continue to get confident with the ball in his hands. And we got trust in him. And I think he's, you know, hasn't had a lot of experience yet in his, you know, young career, but we're seeing improvement, which is really encouraging.
Yeah, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Around here, it's all-wheel drive all year round, and Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone, like the family-size Highlander and the bigger, more powerful Grand Highlander. Now through February 2nd, get 4.99 APR financing on any new 26 Highlander or Grand Highlander, including hybrid models, with approved credit through TFS. Plus, every new Toyota comes with ToyotaCare, 2 years no-cost maintenance. For complete details, go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Hey everybody, it's Burr.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The uncle you never knew you had.
The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Thursday. Hit it, guys.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
I meant to get to this earlier in the show, but I had a bit of a brain fart. We were talking about LeBron and his return to Cleveland last night, but the Lakers got spanked by the Cavaliers. 129-99 was the final score in favor of the home team. Donovan Mitchell had 25 points. Jalen Tyson added 20. He's been one of those players that's really impressed me, and I've said as much on this show over the past couple of weeks. Him and Donovan Mitchell were speaking with reporters after the game.
Different energy in this building when the James family's here. We saw how the fans reacted to Bronny. And certainly this could be potentially LeBron's last game in this building. How would you characterize his impact on this city and the franchise? Well, you could say something too.
This is Donovan Mitchell City now. This is Donovan Mitchell City now. When he come back here, we're going to make sure that everybody roots for him like they did for him. So this is his stuff. This is his city.
Yes, sir, Jalen.
Thing or not a thing.
So I think that's a ridiculous question to ask Donovan Mitchell. I don't know who the sideline report. That was national, I think. That's a crazy question. I mean, you just win by 30, and you're asking what was LeBron's impact. It's different when LeBron's in the building. Like, LeBron hasn't played for the Cavs since 2017, right? I mean, or 18, I guess. Yeah, so I think that's a crazy question. I think a lot of people are jumping on the Jalen Tyson thing. You know, we'll take care of him when he comes back. Thinking like that Donovan Mitchell is going anywhere. Donovan Mitchell has built a house up there, like a custom. Like, I don't think he's going anywhere. It's not like he just bought a house. Like, he built his like forever home up there. So I don't see any scenario where he's going anywhere. And I think it's kind of being misconstrued a little bit. And I think I like what Tyson said there. And the thing I really have a problem with is the idea that it seems like that was the first question to Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, he was asking Donovan. I think his last name's Sedano. I can't think of his first name right now for ESPN.
George Sedano.
Yeah, him. He was the guy that asked the question there. I love what Jalen Tyson did. You know, have your guys back, pump up Donovan. Mm-hmm. And Donovan has been, I would guess, better than any Cavs fan could have hoped since he has been there. And Jalen Tyson, a lot of people were like, who? when the Cavs drafted him, but he's really been really good this year and come along. It is a ridiculous question to ask,
so
because if he answers it and says, yeah, this is my town now, you're going to have people out there, oh, look at this guy, he's so cocky, he's so arrogant, how could he ever think that? There's no way he's better than LeBron. And also, I'll argue that, and Reese, you can speak to this a little more, because you're more of a Cleveland fan than I am. I think I would argue Cleveland's Jose Ramirez is down now that he is continued
Miles
to
Garrett's take. Town.
Yeah, probably correct. Yeah,
be Miles would be one, and then I think Mitchell Ramirez is really tight. I think that's really tight between the two. My sense is there's probably more Cavs fans than there are Guardians fans, just from the standpoint of, you know, it's a winter sport, so it's something to do in the winter. Like, there's a lot of things to do in the summer up there. You get Cedar Point, you get the lake, you get all those things. And so when the Guardians are good, then they fill it. Those two, I think, are kind of neck and neck. This would be my read of it, Reese.
Well, yeah, usually you don't lock into baseball season, or most up there don't lock into baseball season until after the NBA season's done. Mm-hmm. So you're not really running into that. But I guess I would say Ramirez only because of the length of time, but the Cavs have been closer to, I think, a championship. Well,
yeah, they're really close. That's a good one.
Yeah, but it's going to be the best player for the Cleveland Browns. And then the Senior Bowl is this weekend in Mobile. They're doing Senior Bowl practices this week. Diego Pavia measured in at 5'9", which is well under his Vanderbilt program height of 6 foot. I don't know if you guys had a chance to discuss that. When speaking to reporters before Senior Bowl practices earlier in the week, Pavia was asked about his vertical challenges. Quote, "My size has been doubted my whole life. Only thing the NFL cares about is can you win?" He continued, quote, "Whatever organization I go to, they're going to get all I've got. Whoever takes a chance on me, they're going to win," end quote. Thing or not a thing.
So this is essentially the Dylan Gabriel situation, right? Where you have shorter quarterback by football standards, not just NFL standards. Like, even in high school, like a 5'9 quarterback, you don't see that very often in terms of the best programs. And so if you're going to be 5'9, then you have to have the other elite traits. So you need to have a whip of an arm, and you better have some escapability. And Pavia's got the latter, for sure. He's got some escapability. Obviously, he's not going to be drafted high. My hunch is someone will take a flyer on him. But I also would not at all be shocked if he was if he was a camp invitee, that type of thing. Because at that height, it's a lot to overcome. I mean, Kyler did it, but for a while. But he has some elite traits. He's got a pretty good whip, and got in great escapability. But for an organization to, like, build things around you, you have to be able to be somebody that has elite traits. And I don't think Pavia has elite traits.
Yeah, this is a thing, and it's not a good thing for Diego Pavia. And I love Diego Pavia. I love the story. I love what he did for Vanderbilt football the past couple years. But there's no part of me watching Diego Pavia that ever said, that guy's better than Dylan Gabriel.
No.
And we're seeing, and we saw this year, how hard it is going to be for Dylan Gabriel to be a quarterback in the pros. Now, he may be a really long-term backup, and maybe that's something Diego Pavia can be. But Diego Pavia is not going to go in the NFL and be a starter for anyone. It's going to be really hard for him to keep a roster spot, probably. I do think, no doubt, whenever he gets wherever he goes, he's going to give it his all. But I just don't know if that's enough.
The thing NFL teams want from their backup quarterbacks, though, is they want to be able to count on them in emergency. And other than that, they really don't want to hear from them. So if you are big and boisterous and you're a backup quarterback, that's part of the reason, you know, Tim Tebow doesn't work, you know, like that's why, because you can't be the distraction being the backup. Like, I don't want to hear from you. You got to go like the Colt McCoy, Chase Daniels route, you know, where you do your job. I mean, you think about like the guys who have done it, Jacoby Brissett forever. The two guys I just mentioned, like Tyrod Taylor, like, do your job, be supportive of the starter. And otherwise we don't hear from you.
Chase Daniel.
I mentioned him. Yeah. Chase Daniel, Colt McCoy, you know, those guys are all in that mix.
John Kitna for years, even though he was a starter here and there.
Sure.
Well, in my opinion, 5'9" is gigantic. According to a report in Sports Business Journal, multiple franchises among the group of 29 NHL and NBA teams are in emergency talks with the Victory Plus streaming platform should the owner of FanDuel Sports Network fold in the middle of the current NBA and NHL seasons. Sports Business Journal says teams are once again expecting Main Street to miss upcoming rights payments that are due on February 1st and are looking for a, quote, quick and reputable replacement that will pay on time. Victory Plus is a novel streaming service that's applied free streaming models to two NHL teams, the Dallas Stars and the Anaheim Ducks. The results have been encouraging. Stars and Ducks broadcasters are stream for free on Victory Plus to anyone within those local markets. Both NHL clubs have signed with Victory Plus and have seen growth in merchandise and in ticket sales since joining the Victory Plus streaming service. Thing or not a thing?
So you just what you're just talking about right there is I'm going to give you the opposite end of the spectrum on that. And this is why the other sports in this country will never, ever be in the vicinity of the NFL and, quite honestly, now college football. You're talking about people trying to get paid month to month by their local television partners. The Los Angeles Dodgers make $334 million a year from their TV deal. That's before they sell a Dodger dog. The Los Angeles Lakers make $200 million a year from their local television deal. And you got teams who have local partners who can't make their rent payments? There's no chance. The NBA has a cap, and so that'll make it a little more difficult there. There's a little bit of a hindrance. But in baseball, I mean, come on. I wonder what the Toronto Maple Leafs make from their local television package.
I'm guessing it's pretty good. They've also probably make a lot from the National Canadian package, too, on TSN as well.
Maple Leafs have a separate traditional local TV deal. Instead, they are part of the NHL's national rights. Let's see what their broadcasting structure is. Well, Rogers owns 75% of Maple Leaf Sports. That's a little bit more confusing in terms of figuring out what their number is. But, that's the problem. Like, see, these sports operations, they're apples and avocados in terms of what you're dealing with. Completely. All right, coming up next, final hour of the program. Ted Ginn Jr. going to be in studio coming up at 11:30. Urban Meyer on what is needed to compete in college football at the highest level coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Wrinkles, gray hair, and hearing loss are common signs of getting older. But being short of breath, having tightness in your chest, coughing, and wheezing are not. If you are experiencing these symptoms, you may be one of the millions of people who are living with a condition called COPD but don't know it. Early diagnosis and treatment can add years of better breathing to your life. For more information, talk to your doctor and visit copdfoundation.org today.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reese, sir. The Blue Jackets are 7-1 since Rick Bonus took over 2 weeks ago. Jackets beat the Flyers 5-3 last night at Nationwide. Columbus is at Chicago tomorrow night with four games left before the Olympic break. In college hoops, the 11th-ranked Ohio State women's squad hosts Wisconsin tonight at 8. Buckeyes look to bounce back from Sunday's loss at number 10, Iowa. Tyler Danberg is going to have the call tonight with coverage at 7:45 over on the Fan 2. That's 14:60 on the AM dial. Jake Diebler's squad heads to Madison to battle Wisconsin Saturday at 2 o'clock. Ohio State 14-6 overall, 6-4 in Big Ten play. They'll play at Maryland next Thursday before hosting number 2 Michigan next Sunday. And spring football kicks off in 2 months with the start of the United Football League. The Columbus Aviators play their first game on March 29th in Orlando. Teddy Ginn Jr. is the head coach of your Aviators. He'll join Bo Bishop in 30 minutes right here on the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour here on a Thursday edition of the program. Ted Ginn Jr. going to join us in studio here in about 28 minutes from now. Typically at this time, for gosh almighty, like months, we would do NFL picks at this time. And now those are done. And so here we are. And we've got Super Bowl, of course, next week. And so this will be a little bit of a different format now until next September when the NFL kicks back in. And to that end, we thought, what better way to kick this off than to hear from one of our favorites? And that is Urban Meyer, his Triple Option podcast. Honestly, like from a college football, what's going on in the weeds department is probably about as good as it gets, because Urban talks to everybody in the sport, especially your head coach Ryan Day here. And Urban was talking with Mark Ingram about roster building and how to do it and what exactly the plan is going to be around here going forward. Here's Urban on that.
I think that the template has all been set now. The Big Ten's won it 3 years in a row. Most mature veteran teams. The Wolverines did it. The Buckeyes did it. I actually talked to Coach Day about that. Yesterday we talked before the game, and he mentioned that everybody is now, that's it, and everyone's talking about it. How do we get a locker room of grown-ass men that's been through it? As opposed to coaching that 21-year-old, Mark, is a much different cry than that 18-year-old. You got a grown-ass man with experience that understands the game.
I understand why they're doing it, because the difference between, just think of yourselves out there listening, like what you were as a 19-year-old versus what you are as a 22 or 23-year-old. Maturity, how you're different. Physically, how you're different. I think, and we had an email about this in the email segment of the program too. This is going to be a very interesting needle for Ryan Day to thread in terms of roster composition. And Mark Pantone is the best in the business in regard to identifying high school talent and getting the guys to find out. He's the ambassador cool for a reason. Getting those guys, and some of what they've done in recruiting here is, there's really only three programs who've recruited at this level since Urban got here through Ryan, and Mark's been one of the constants through all of that. It's Ohio State, it's Georgia, and it's Alabama. That's kind of it. They're the only ones who kind of recruited at that level the entire time. And it's no secret that if you have the most talent, you win games. It's pretty simple. And they've won a lot, and they've won championships and all of those things. But you did see a shift. I think you're going to see an even bigger shift going forward. The new recruiting rules are very different too. The idea that coordinators aren't going to have to go out on the road and recruit, that there will be designated recruiters that go and do that. I floated this out before, like, I don't know if we'll ever see another Julian Sain at Ohio State. And not that talent, but what I mean by that is a redshirt freshman starting quarterback. I don't know if you'll see that again. I don't know. This just happened at Miami with Mensa. I don't know if Miami is ever going to recruit another quarterback again. Not sure if LSU is ever going to recruit another quarterback again. You certainly aren't going to pay them. You're not going to pay them the top dollars. What exactly was Florida's return on investment on DJ Legway? And it's not all DJ Legway's fault. I'm not putting it on him. I'm not putting it on the parents. Like, he got a massive check to go to Florida. In part because of that, it was important that he started pretty soon. And I don't think he was scheduled to start right away at Florida. I think there was an injury and he started in that freshman year, but started the better part of 2 years at Florida. And then you get a new coach in there and he goes, well, I kind of like to go in a different direction. This development didn't take place the way that I want. Now DJ Legway's at Baylor. So, and I did see the comments from Tavian St. Clair in terms of development and how much he's learned. And I think everybody wants, like, a St. Clairsville kid to be a five-star quarterback from St. Clairsville to be the, or not St. Clairsville. Where's he from?
He's from Bell Fountain.
Bell Fountain. Sorry. Wrong direction. Bell Fountain. You'd love to see a five-star quarterback from Bell Fountain elevate to starting quarterback at Ohio State and be developed here and all of the things that go with it. I just don't know if it's realistic anymore in this day and age. And I don't know if coaches can afford to do it either. You think about the gamble that, like, Kalen DeBoer is making with Keelan Russell. I mean, he was his quarterback. He better damn well be good. He was a five-star kid. He was compensated richly. He better be good. And so how you build these things, I still think you're going to be in the markets with your Chris Henry Juniors and your Jeremiah Smiths and your Bo Jacksons out of high school. I still think you're going to do that. I still think there's defensive players that are going to have elite traits. I mean, just think about like Riley Pettijohn, who was a five-star linebacker that threes nabbed out of Texas. Riley Pettijohn better be a dude this year. He better be a real dude. He has to be. And that's the kind of where we are with all of this is trying to find what is the sweet spot of building a team that consistently compete as a champion. And one of the casualties of that is you're not going to be able to watch players grow the way you used to. And I know there's a great many of you who aren't going to like that. And I'm among you. I like the idea of seeing a kid pop. It was cool seeing Zeke Elliott as a freshman on special teams and then see him make a couple of big plays as a freshman at Purdue and thinking, well, he's got next. I don't know if that's going to happen anymore. And that's a casualty of all of this. But I also know, I really don't think that that's ever coming back in the purest sense. I think this is kind of where we are going forward. I do think the portal stuff would shut down with CBA. That would shut that down because then you'd have contracts and then you could get back to some of that development. So there is a path for this to calm down, this free portal, all of this stuff. That would shut down if you did CBAs and there were contracts that were actually admissible and people would be held to. But until that happens, this is the world you're going to live in.
And I hope that's you're always going to have, you know, those five-star running backs, five-star wide receivers, like the elite of the elite talent is still going to be whom you go and try to get right out of high school. But yeah, I don't think the spending or the we're going to outspend this one program for that is going to matter relative to how much you're spending on transfer portal guys who not only are older in age and maturity, but have seen and played so much football. Like, I think it was like 50 some odd games that Carson Beck had started. And that's so much football. Yeah. There's so many different situations that he has seen over his stops at Georgia and at Miami, when you get into those moments against Indiana for, you know, Julian saying it, I think it's really going to help that he had those two games against Indiana, against Miami in his future development. And I do hope that Ohio State is still involved in getting those guys. You know, then they were in on Julian saying it was down to Alabama and Ohio State for his services. And so I still hope they're in on those kinds of guys. But they're also going to have to balance it with the kind of Will Howards, or I guess for mm-hmm. Indiana's case, the Fernando Mendoza. Like, Ohio State, I think, can be a little bit above that with the staff that they've got now that can develop that. Like, I don't think Miami's got any interest in developing a quarterback from high school to a pro prospect. They're just trying to win now, but Ohio State, mm-hmm. I think, is still involved in that. So I think there are places they're still involved in getting those guys to the NFL from right out of high school. You're going to have to, as an Ohio State fan, sit there and be like, well, do you want to win or do you want that kind of development? Because some years, that might be the difference.
And I think Ohio State fan is in a really interesting place of limbo right now, because we talked about Ohio State was trying to continue to be what Ohio State has been and continue to do it in the traditional way, maybe some of us would say the more right and appropriate way, to recruit guys out of high school, develop them, and have them be stars for you. But it didn't work for you this year, and you want to keep up with the Joneses, basically, and when the Joneses change and the game has changed and the rules have changed, you've got to kind of try to shift philosophy on that. And I think it's a weird spot for Ohio State fans right now, because you're used to having all of this talent on your bench, and it's just not the way it's going to be anymore. You can't afford to have guys sitting on your bench developing mm-hmm. for 2 and 3 years while paying them all the time to do nothing.
No. And I do wonder if there's going to be a change coming too in terms of how big these rosters are. Like, do you need to have 100 kids? Or should it be 70? And pay those. You know, I mean, I don't know that you need to. I'm telling you what, you're not going to be compensating kids to redshirt. You're not going to be compensating kids richly to sit. I mean, just think about Devin Sanchez this year. Was he always ready? I don't know. You know, he got better as it went along. But, like, that's one of those situations where if you're going to pay a five-star player, you better go be a dude. You need them to be a dude. And those are going to fall back on the player. That's going to fall back on the recruiting process, all of it, versus like what old LSU did. LSU just whole new roster. Away we go. Now, it takes $40 million or better to do it, and I don't think that's the process. I just think Ohio State's going to hit the sweet spot on this. They typically do. I think what they're doing now is going to be the sweet spot, and I think we've laid it out pretty well in terms of 15 to 18, 5, 6 true blue chips, and then portal supplementing beyond.
And it's buyer beware. I mean, I know it's raising Cane's money, but LSU had better be in the college football playoff this year, right?
Yes.
Like, that's the ask when you do all of that. Is there's no time. And Kurt Cignetti kind of threw that mold in the trash.
Yes.
Where he was right away poised to put Indiana into a postseason. So, yeah, good luck. If what you want to do is the consistent Miami thing, because I don't see the Hurricanes back in the college football playoff next year.
No, unless the Mensa kid's a lot better than we believe.
Yeah.
But I mean, they lost both defensive ends. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough way to go about it. I think the Buckeye plan is a very, very good plan to be able to navigate all of this. And of course, the idea here is as long as we keep developing from the NFL, they will continue to want to enroll. And if that is the case, my goodness, this NFL draft is going to be a fun one. A lot of Buckeyes mocked. We got a mock from Daniel Jeremiah. We'll get into that. What do the Browns do? What do the Bengals do? Who goes number one? Where do the Buckeyes land? It's coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan. There's no...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows? Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
Everyone needs to take care of their mental health, even running back Bijan Robinson.
When I'm on the field and feeling the pressure, I usually just take a deep breath. When I'm just breathing and seeing what's in front of me, everything just slows down. It just makes me feel great before I run the play.
Just like Bijan, we all need a strong mental game on and off the field. Make a game plan for your mental health at loveyourmindplaybook.org.
Love your mind.
Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Foundation, the Arthur M. Blank Family Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are looking ahead to a mix of clouds and sunshine here for today, but it will still be very cold with highs only around 17 here this afternoon. Winds out of the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And as we go through the next several days, we are still tracking more of the same with some sunshine and temperatures into the upper teens to near 20 here for your Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
During this 10-second promo, Rothman will lose money gambling on something.
People like you come here and blow the family nest egg that built this town.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Mock draft season is here, kids. So there's three windows for your mock drafts. You usually get one in the football season. Then you're going to get one that usually drops right after the championship games, and that's when the one we're going to talk about now does. Then you're going to get another one that comes after the combine, because the combine is the great groupthink of the NFL. You have preconceived notions of how the draft's going to go. Then you go to the combine, and then everybody talks to each other at Elmo's and everywhere else, and all of a sudden you have consensus. So then there's the mock drafts that come out of that. Then there's a mock draft that comes after free agency, and then there's one that happens right before the draft. So those are kind of the 3-4 windows that you're looking for in your mock drafts. I still love Kiper just because he's old and he's my guy. I love Dane Brugler. I think he does a really good job. And if you're especially from the Browns' perspective, I think Brugler's really dialed in to the way that their current drafting administration wants to run things and what they're looking for. So I think he does a very good job. A lot of these guys do. And the other one I always pay attention to is Daniel Jeremiah. Really plugged in, does his own scouting. I think that the mock draft that he dropped on Monday, there's some things in it that to me don't make any dang sense at all. Just really none. Some of it makes a lot of sense. There are a lot of Buckeyes that he has projected to go in the first round of this draft. In fact, he has one going number two overall. Arvell Reese, number two overall to the New York Jets. The Commies, Sonny Styles, going seven. I tell you what, if threes coach two top 10 draft picks linebackers, jeez.
That was an eye-opener. That was an eye-opener to me because we all expected Arvell in the top five.
Yeah.
I think we all expected Sonny in the first round.
Sure.
Not number seven.
Who's the last NFL team that had two last college team that had two linebackers drafted in the top 10?
That's Georgia?
Did they have two in the top 10? N'Kobe Dean and, two linebackers? Like DNs. I mean, that happens.
Yeah.
You know, but two linebackers in the top 10? That's crazy. He has Caleb Downs dropping all the way to 11 to the Dolphins. I see no scenario where Caleb Downs gets past Cincinnati at 10. He has Carnell Tate going about 10 picks lower than I'd like him to go. He has him going number 16 to the Jets. You think Carnell Tate's lasting that long?
No, no chance.
I don't.
I kind of hope he doesn't last past number six.
That's what I just said. I think
frankly,
he's going 10
right?
picks later than
right?
I'd like to see him
like,
go.
By the way, did you mention who the Browns are? Hey, who he has the Browns
got
taken?
There yet. I haven't got there yet.
Okay.
No.
I'm going to hold off then.
Yeah. So four total Buckeyes in the first round. Bake brought up the Browns. He has the Browns taking David Bailey, the edge out of Texas Tech. I'll just say this. This makes no roster sense at all. None. The amount of investment that the Cleveland Browns have on the defensive side of the football has been so significant. They are already paying Myles Garrett. They just did a contract with Alex Wright. They've spent a lot of money in the front. They just drafted a defensive tackle in the top five last year, drafted a linebacker last year in the second round. And both those guys are really, really good. Carson Schwessinger was great. Honestly, if Cleveland was going to go to defensive player at six, I would say Caleb Downs would be.
Yes, in a heartbeat.
Would make some sense, but I don't think they should draft defense at all. I think they should draft weapons, offensive tackle, weapons, offensive tackle. They need that is what they need. So I can't see a scenario where Cleveland takes a defensive end at six. I don't know where we are on comparing like Carnell Tate with the Love kid from USC and how all of that shakes out, but I would imagine one of those guys would be in the mix at six. The only thing that I think would deter maybe that at six would be if the offensive tackle from Miami or potentially the kid from Utah, Spencer Fano from Utah or Francis Might, how do you say his name?
Maioga.
From Miami. If one of those guys were there at six, I could see them being very intrigued by that. He has the flip side of their draft, getting the tackle at 24, and that's Caden Proctor. He's the big kid from Iowa who went to Alabama, hopped in the portal, went back to Iowa, then said, yeah, I don't like cold, so I'm going to go back to Alabama. And then they ran him as like a short yardage guy. They threw it to him this year. Caden Proctor and a healthy DeJuan Jones would be the biggest two tackle tandem maybe in the history of the NFL.
Beasts.
Massive humans. But for Cleveland, it's got to be weapons. And for the Bengals, he has him taking Jermaine McCoy, the corner out of Tennessee, ahead of Caleb Downs, which I don't see. I think they'd take Downs.
Yeah, with Jeremiah's explanation as to why David Bailey at six, the best player available is what he's saying. And I guess I see... You know, Reuben Bain, Sonny Styles, Caleb Downs. I just see it differently, these prospects. Because I see those three that I just mentioned as better. I mean, Mekhi Lemon, the wide receiver out of USC, I'd say. Mm-hmm. If Carnell Tate's taken at six, before six, then, yeah, I don't know what he sees with a defensive end there.
That's a pretty poor explanation, I believe, from Daniel Jeremiah. Because as long as Caleb, to me... As long as Caleb Downs is on the board in this draft, mm-hmm. that's the best player available to be drafted at any pick.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. is Caleb Downs going number one in this draft? No, he's not, because we don't draft safeties like we do quarterbacks or offensive tackles or whatnot. But number two is the best player in this draft. So if you're picking and he's still on the board, that's the best player available.
I think he's, I think the only thing I would amend your, to your statement is, I think he might be the best player, but I think he's 100% the safest. Like, he is a, I can't
you
imagine.
Bring him in and plug him in.
That's it. Like, I can't imagine a scenario barring injury that he's not like a 12-year pro, six Pro Bowls. I just don't see any scenario how he's not that. So there may be somebody who has a higher ceiling. Who knows? You know, Arvel Reese, maybe Micah Parsons. We don't know. And that's a more valuable position with a higher ceiling. I don't know that. But he's the safest, best pick in this draft. It's hard for me to see a scenario where he isn't a very, very good National Football League player. Go ahead, Bick.
I was just going to say, if you give me in this draft for the Browns, if you give me Carnell Tate and Caden Proctor, I'm pretty sure I'd be happy as heck.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If it played out that way,
yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah. Or Lemon at six. If Carnell's gone, then, I mean, but the, you have to. This is a weapons league, man. The Seattle Seahawks are playing in the Super Bowl with really one weapon on the outside. Now, it's an elite one, but it's kind of just one weapon. You know, that's it. So, like, if you don't have that, then you're not really going anywhere. And so, yeah, I think it has to be that. Where do you guys come down on? It feels like as we stand here and we're about a month before the combine, that it's a foregone conclusion that Fernando Mendoza is going to the Raiders at one. Is Fernando Mendoza a sure thing?
No.
Or as sure things as thing get to go number one overall?
No.
I'm kind of with you.
Yeah, if we're saying a 10 is yes, I'm right now going to bet.
So 10's Burrow.
He's not that. So no. Because I could see with, because the Raiders don't have a head coach. Am I thinking that correctly?
They don't. Them and the Cardinals do
so,
not.
So I think that needs to happen first before you can say for certainty what they're going to do. If with the position of being in the first spot. Like if they bring in a guy and maybe they do something, hire the head coach, bring in a veteran quarterback, then maybe they're less inclined to go Mendoza at number one. And that would open up for the Jets or from whoever else would want a quarterback at one to jump up for them. And they say, well, we're open for business.
Yeah. I haven't pulled up. He's the only quarterback going in the first round, right? In this mock.
That's what I'm seeing. And so I do think that. If you're the Raiders, if you're the Browns, and you're sitting there going, our quarterback's in the near future, something that they've got that has to be addressed. You don't need to address it this year if you're not saying we're going to the playoffs with this guy away.
You're right. And the other thing that's pretty interesting is a year ago at this time when we were talking about last year's NFL draft, the one with Cam Ward going number one overall, and at this time in the year we thought Shadur was going number two. All we were told was wait till next year. Klubnik, Aller, Nussmeier, Manning, potentially. Where are they? Guys, here's the seat. Nobody knows anything. You don't know. Nobody knows anything. Like, none of those guys are going to be day one picks. None of them are going to be day two picks.
Who's the guy that was at Texas A&M and transferred to Houston? Is it Connor Wegman? Is that his name? That he was this guy's going to be a first round pick.
And then he ended up at Georgia Tech.
And then I don't even think he started at Houston.
No, I mean you just don't know how these things are all going to shake out. Here's one thing I do go when you get a chance to talk to Ted Ginn Jr., you're sure like to do so. He will join us in studio in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Diagnosed with leukemia, lymphoma, myeloma, or one of over 100 other types of blood cancer makes people want more time to do the things they love. That means more time to be artists, prom dates, world travelers, and moms. We are Blood Cancer United, the world's leading organization focused solely on blood cancer research, support, and advocacy. We do the most for more people with blood cancer, so people with blood cancer can do more of whatever they want. Blood Cancer United. Join us at bloodcancerunited.org.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Drink recommendations, movie reviews, sports discussion, and whatever the hell Reeser does. This is Bishop and Friends.
Well, our next guest is on a short list of the answer to the question, who is one of the coolest Buckeye players of all time? Anytime we have this conversation, Teddy, your name comes up. He is Ted Ginn Jr. He is a former Buckeye great, of course, and he's the head coach of your Columbus Aviators, who begin play next month here in town. It's got a nice ring to it, doesn't it, buddy?
For sure. It definitely got a nice ring to it. I'm excited. I'm happy to be here. It's a blessing, you know. I want to thank God, you know, for giving me this opportunity. But yeah, I'm glad I'm up in the top five or the top three of the coolest guys of the Buckeyes. So I'm enjoying that.
You're always on that list, buddy. Always are, man. This is in your blood. I mean, your dad's legendary coach. I know you do Ginn Elite, and I've seen it on the basketball side with my kids who play the AAU on that side, and obviously you do it on the football side as well. What made this opportunity one that you just couldn't pass up?
I mean, being able to coach the game, and it's always fun. Being able to do it in the state of Ohio is even better. To do it down in Columbus and showcase Columbus is even better. You know, being a former Buckeye, understanding what the city of Columbus brings, why not be an Aviator and come on in and showcase what Ohio has, you know, region wise, state wise, and just create opportunities for kids like we've always been doing in our bloodline.
Talking with Teddy again. Teddy, I saw you a couple weeks ago, the UFL draft. We're able to, I think it was down in Texas at the UFL's headquarters. What was being part of that process like?
Very, very different. Really had to rely on the guys that I went out and got as my coaches. Had to rely on the organization for going out and doing the league work that they have. But just really taking the time to really evaluate some of these kids and a lot of these kids. And you've seen a lot of great talent, and just going through the process, it was fun. It was exciting, and I can't wait to do it again.
Ted, how did this process with you becoming the coach of the Aviators, how did all this start, and take us through all of it and what got you to here?
So having a conversation with my brother, is actually a little brother, Cordell Jones, called Buster. We know a lot about what he does around here in the state of Ohio, especially for the Buckeyes since he's been done. He came to me with it. We had a conversation that led to another conversation that led to a dinner that led to you, the coach. And I think us knowing what we bring to the table as far as Cordell, what he bring, they offered him first, you know, and he said that due to his schedule and his obligations and different things like that, that he would still want to be involved, but I want to be involved with helping finding the next great guy. And I guess it just clicked in his head, why not go get Big Bruh? And, we had our conversations. I kind of told him that I didn't want to do it. You know, I'm involved with Ginn Elite. I'm involved with Glenville High School football and different things like that. He sat down with Russ, you know, and after that, you know, we actually sat over here at Jeff Ruby's, you know, mm-hmm. And after that, once we got up, it was like, I'm going to do this thing, you know, and I'm confident. I got a purpose. I got a passion. Like you said earlier, you know, it's in my blood. It is in my blood. And I just want to go out and just do it the right way. And with the help of the organization from the UFL, now the Aviators, I'm doing the best that I can do.
I'll tell you this right now, buddy. I could agree to damn near anything after a dinner at Jeff Ruby's. You could ask me anything, and I'd probably say, yeah, I'm good. I'll do it. You mentioned, I mean, obviously your dad's a legend, and I know how much you do on the youth side of things with your academies and all of those things. When you think of the Ted Ginn Jr. Columbus Aviators, what does that team have to be? What are your non-negotiables in terms of style of play, culture, accountability? What is your style?
I think my style is being able to do what's right for the player. You know, we are here at this particular time in our lives is, you know, we're trying to scratch our back. You know, we are trying to, you know, create another opportunity. We are trying to create passion. You know, what I don't want is a guy that's coming in and think that he already made it. If that was what it was, you wouldn't be here. Making a kid understand what position that he in and how to move from that position, you know, understanding where you're going, you know, being a more attentive into the game, understanding what I'm not doing right to be able to do right. I think that's just where it's at. And, you know, me playing 14 years, I had different years of my career where that showed me who I was and me taking the different steps to understand where I was at in that position. Of being on a team helped me be who I am today. So just really understanding and building that passion back that, you know, I could be somebody in this league or I could be somebody in the next one.
Columbus Aviators open their season March 29th in Orlando, then at historic Cruz Stadium hosting the DC Defenders on April 3rd. It'll be an 8 o'clock kick on Fox. So you guys are starting the season with two primetime games. I'm wondering, you know, Ted, your offensive coordinator, Todd Haley, has done it everywhere. What was the process like getting him on board and just working with him only in the couple of weeks you guys have been able to work?
Oh, man, I think that's my glue to my whole staff. You know, he come in with a lot of leadership, a lot of history, and he played in every league that you can possibly come up with when it comes to football. From the UFL to the XFL to Canadian to, you know, his time with the Chiefs, the Steelers, and different places like that. So getting Todd to come on and our passion of being receivers and, you know, taking that on. And the biggest thing was finding somebody that can bring in their guys. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was a big key for me to be successful this year. With me being a first year guy was going out and finding a guy that can bring his guys in, and he brought his guys in with Bob and Ronnie, and I was able to bring a young guy named Jordan Overton in, and that group has been successful in my eyes, you know, and Ty's been successful in my eyes as taking over not only for the offense but for the defense and bringing this knowledge. And I say this to him all the time. I couldn't have picked a better squad with my older guys and Todd and them, and then my young guys on my defensive side. That's, you know, very hungry. Each one of those guys on the defensive side and then played some ball with me throughout my career. So I kind of know what they're into, especially on the defensive side. So, the combination of what I have for the Aviators, I do give a lot of credit to Todd, you know, especially during that draft, you know, on the offensive side, him and Bob, you know, they did an amazing job. The process was the process, you know, and now that we're here, we're bouncing ideas. We're loving to being in the position that we're in.
We talked a couple times about this being in your blood. How much have you talked to Dad about this already, and how much do you think you're going to rely on him during the season?
A lot. You know, Pops is the type of person that been relied on from a lot of different coaches around this state of Ohio in a lot of years. So why wouldn't I use that?
For sure.
You know, I think I go to him when I have the big questions or the big answers, you know. I want to go to him when I want to give him his praise. You know, I want to be able to tell him certain things that make him feel good. You know, I just don't want to be in a spot where, you know, he don't feel like I'm getting the job done. You know, and being able to have him, being able to have Jim Tressel, being able to have Coach Hazel, you know, it's been a blessing to have that type of dictionary where you can pull from a lot of different ways, and football is all played, you know, on the field, but it's really played off.
That's a pretty dang good support staff, buddy. We're all very excited about this. I'll get you out of here on this one. Look good, play good. As I mentioned off the top, you always looked about as cool as you can look in a Buckeye uniform. Buddy, I'm looking at this aviator gear. Pretty clean, pal.
Hey, when they say it blue, I was like, not Michigan blue, you know, but that baby blue with that red and white, you know, I can't, you know, I try to put it on as much as I can because they got every good color that you want, you know, but, you know, like you said before, man, you look good, you feel good, you play good. That's a motto. That is a staple in on this football team. I don't want you out here looking sloppy, your uniform all out of whack. You're not looking like a football player because, like I said, we're here to make you go to your next step, you know. And the next step is either re-entering back into the NFL or just re-entering to something that you're passionate about that you can play the next couple of years here in this league. So, you know, I can't wait till my guys put it on. I'm going to be dressing a couple guys. I'm definitely going to be dressing a two ball, a 1-9, a 7. You got to come out looking like something, you know. So I'm going to be on their butts a little bit.
I love that, man. Hey, man, we're excited to get this started. As we mentioned, this all starts March 29th at Orlando and then home debut on April 3rd. We're going to be rooting for you, going to be following you. Thank you so much for taking the time and coming in studio with us today.
Thank you. Just one more thing, man. Sure. Make sure you come out, support the Aviators. Yeah. It's $65. You could come to all the games right now for $65. So just have a little bit of support, a little bit of passion. Bring your kids, your family, your friends. You make it an outing. You know, football is about to be off in a minute. So, you know, being here, that's all we got is football. We on Fox, you know. So just come out, support. $65 for all games. You can sit wherever. First seat, first come. So we almost on a Southwest airline flight. You know, but come on out, man. Have fun, enjoy this, and keep us around.
Hey, man, I have a feeling this city's going to support it, and I think they're going to support you. And it's great hearing from you, great seeing you. Thanks for your time, pal.
No doubt.
All right, there he goes. Ted Ginn Jr., former Buckeye great, and your head coach of your Columbus Aviators, who begin play here locally first weekend in April, debut down in Orlando last weekend in March. Three things on a Thursday coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
File with TurboTax.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
All your favorite and least favorite fan shows are available wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in 971 The Fan to the search bar and hit that subscribe button. It's free.
We're the land of the free and the home of the sunburnt, freckled fat guy.
Do it now.
Some journeys start small, with small paws and big purpose.
Look how little you are, you sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step. Guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience, and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime.
Hey, good girl, Bella.
You don't just raise a puppy. You raise a future. Become a Dogs, Inc. puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
You know what hope is? Hope is action. Carving a path forward, even when it's hard.
And kids who still know how to dream. They're the best pathfinders of all.
So at Child Fund, hope means helping millions of children living in poverty worldwide to grow up healthy, educated, skilled, and so all those good things can come true for them. Safe.
And that means safe at home, safe at school, and safe online.
Hope means walking this path together, all of us. Because when we work together, we can do so much more.
That's right. Hope includes you.
Child Fund. Because we need each other.
To learn how Child Fund works with children in 23 countries to help them achieve their full potential, visit childfund.org. That's childfund.org.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, the fan. Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what do we have in the poll today?
Daily Fan Poll asks, if you're a Browns fan, do you like the hire of Todd Monken? 43% say no, 18% say yes, 38% say I'm not a Browns fan. I'm going to have a conversation with whomever devised the fan poll, because why would you just ask one fan base there?
All right. Time for three things on a Thursday.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, number one for me. So we're sitting, got done with basketball practice last night and watching some hoops, and all the boys are down there. And NBC says to me, he goes, Dad, you ever hear this song? And he goes, it's called Hemorrhage by Fuel. It's my new jam. And I go,
wow.
I've heard of Hemorrhage by Fuel. Yeah, it's a banger. In fact, I believe I have the CD. And he goes, what? And I'm like, yeah. So I went into a box in our storage room and I found my old CD case. You remember the ones like you'd used to guard with your life, and like people would break into cars to steal CDs? Do you remember these things?
Yeah.
Like this actually happened in life? So I pulled them out, and sure enough, I had that CD with Fuel and a bunch of other ones that they hadn't heard of before. And then it occurred to me that I don't have anything to play them on. I no longer have a CD player of any kind. Now, obviously, I could play it in the Xbox, but then you got to do it through the TV. So then I thought to myself, well, should I? Because they were like, the boys were really intrigued by it. It kind of reminded me of like when I would look at like my parents' records. Like they were totally in awe of like the cover art or like the CD covers. Like, what's this all about, Dad? Like all this. I'm like, wow. It's like it's like showing they'd never even seen anything like it, which was a remarkable thing. So I ordered a CD player on Amazon and we're going to listen to some CDs.
That'll be an experience.
Yeah. And I had like all these mix CDs that I'd done through the years, like various mixes that all had names on them. Some of them not always stuff that kids their age should read, but nevertheless, they were all in there as well. It was pretty cool. I can't even remember what is on some of them either. Like, I'm sure there's stuff I've forgotten.
I'm curious to see if like some of the stuff that you loved back in the day you put on, you go, this is garbage.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But he's really into like all of that mid to late 90s. Rock stuff. Like he's really into that's real. It must be showing up on his Instagram because he's on it all the time.
I would love to hear the Bo Bishop Friday night mix back in the day.
Well, I'll tell you, the Bo Bishop late night Friday night
that's
mix.
That's what
was
I'm talking about.
That was a lot of D'Angelo voodoo, is what that was, boys. Put that in and away we go.
First thing for me, I did Publix for the first time on our trip to Florida, and yeah, I get it.
Come on.
It delivers. It was not only one of the cleanest, the most organized, and probably friendliest supermarket experiences I've ever had. Like, there were not only attendants not necessarily when you walked in, like, these weren't Walmart greeters, but they were just kind of making sure that you understood where everything was. Similarly, when you were checking out, Publix sub with with the chicken tenders, absolutely crushed it. Whole thing. Like, they need to move north. I don't know if they're how far south of you, past the Mason-Dixon, but yeah, Jenny could learn a thing or two from Publix.
I'm going to change my first thing because of your first thing, Bo. Mm-hmm. I was always a big Fuel fan, and because of Fuel, I became a huge Aerosmith fan. Now, I was familiar with Aerosmith,
yeah.
Obviously growing up, would hear my dad listen to them when he was listening to radio back on the day, but Fuel came to the Germain / Polaris Amphitheater in 2000, and they opened for Aerosmith. And I was like, I've got to go see Fuel. I love Fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Aerosmith was so damn good that night, I don't even remember Fuel. And I became a huge Aerosmith fan after that because they put on such a damn good show.
That's like being a Cavs fan in like the 2000s, be like, God, I just love Mo Williams. I can't wait to go watch Mo Williams play and then be like, boy, this LeBron guy's pretty good.
He's decent.
He's okay. This guy can go a little bit. The northernmost Publix is in Manassas, Virginia,
okay,
which is appropriate if you know your history. The other one, that there's also some in Kentucky. So they're on our border. They're right there for me. I'll just make this my number two just because it popped into my head. So my go-to, I had several go-to Publix subs orders, but the one that I remember enjoying the most, I didn't have it very often, it was always a treat. It would be white bread, roast beef, light mayo, tomatoes, and onion with the sub sauce. I mean, my mouth's watering thinking about it right now. It's basically an undefeated order. But the subs situation there is, and it's, I don't know what it is. If it's the bread's just good, I don't know what
bread
it is.
Bread is really good.
Yeah, because it's like Boar's Head. Like, it's not like it's some sort of crazy meat selection, but it's just, and that Boar's Head's really good, but like, there's something about it that elevates it.
Yeah, like meat, bread, and experience.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering, and this will now be my second thing, where you love everything about, at least I did, loved everything about Florida going down to Florida. But I wonder how much you appreciate it if you're there in it all the time. Because with what you're experiencing weather-wise, like, you get the ebbs and flows of the cold. It didn't feel like in Miami they had any of those ebbs and flows. Mm-hmm. It was just nice and warm, and sometimes it rained, but you were getting maybe an hour or two of rain, and then you got some sun. And boy, is the sun undefeated.
Second thing for me, the Ohio State basketball team has re-upped with the CBS Sports Classic. They're going to be participating in it for the next four seasons. It'll still be Ohio State, Kentucky, and North Carolina. And now for the next 4 years, they are adding Kansas. That's who Ohio State will play in Madison Square Garden on December 19th of this year. I feel like since my buddy's wife is a KU grad, we're going to have a trip to Madison Square Garden in December this year.
I may see you there. I'll make this my three. So I've told this before. I had all the boys pick blue blood college basketball programs in case the Buckeyes weren't good at hoops because I wanted them locked into March Madness. Kentucky, Kansas, Carolina. I'm going to Lawrence at the beginning of March for Beebsy's trip. I went to Lexington, and I'll have to go to Chapel Hill as well. And now they're going to all play the Buckeyes. So that'll be fun.
So we had talked with Ted Ginn, head coach of your Columbus Aviators, in the last segment there. Be at historic Cruz Stadium for their home opener on April 3rd. Kevin chimes in. I'm already a season ticket holder. Good job out of you, Kevin. $65 for season tickets to watch the Aviators in their first season.
April 3rd, their first home game, their second game of the season. Rothman and Ice coming up next. Ben Axelrod at 12:30. Dan Dockich at 1:30.
You have that to look forward to, which is very, very nice. We're back tomorrow, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call.